Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, September 11th, 2023. Yes, September 11th. It's going to be a day that we should never forget. And we better say a prayer for America. To get started, let's go ahead and do the pledge. And I hope when I do this that you join with me and say it too. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Think about those words today when we think about everything that happened on 9/11 and things that happened before it. We must understand our history. We must understand our enemies. And with that being said, I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. And I'll tell you, the last couple of years, all the ordeal of the 2020 election, It's stuff I already believed, but it was just cemented, proven beyond any reasonable doubt as to why I have to be afraid of my government. It's out there. It's proof. Now, let's see. I have Dr. Tolbert's going, because this is 9/11, a day that means many things to us, excuse me, a day that helped to transform our country. Dr. Tolbert is going to start with a prayer for us. So welcome, Dr. Tolbert. Please, anything you'd like to say first and then go into the prayer, any other words of wisdom you would like to share with us?
Yes, Sally, and I really appreciate it. And just to advise individuals that the subject we're discussing tonight on the national endeavor, which is not a federal holiday, of 9/11, and that the notations in the Congress last month to make it a federal holiday is still on hold. And the question we're going to ask a lot of people, should the allowing of an invasion by the President of the United States, who knew that the illegal immigrants had the intent of destroying portion of America, and the CIA and the FBI covered up this information because of the desire to go to war against Iraq. They wanted a invasion in the United States with the excuse to cover the president's father's past issues. So there's a big question that is being presented that a lot of people aren't following. So before we go into prayer tonight about the nations and the endeavor of the loss of individuals, we need to go in prayer about the federal government's lack of authority and obedience to protect the American citizens. So tonight there will be a large discussion from a lot of individuals going into the background of Sharia law, the Sharia Bible, the Quran, these individuals, and this was in our volume 2 that we presented, how there should not be any allowance of anyone who is in the United States who is endeavored in the Quran, even though some would say it violates Article 1. I totally do not believe it violates the Constitution, because when you sign to be a citizen and come in America, it says you will follow and obey the U.S. Constitution. And there's many people that don't do that. So I'm going to open the door later for people to get into that discussion. Now I would like to start the prayer. Father, it is the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I, the apostle of the Lord, who is a messenger throughout the world, bring to you the notice of this day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O Lord, our God, who can be compared with you? Who is even similar to you among the gods? What God is as great as our God, who is abundant in mercy and benevolent in strength, to bring consolation and salvation to all of us? Therefore, we pray to you this day, God, to protect us. Do not be silent in the time when we hear the sounds of war and threats from the mighty ones of the earth, which brings us to this day of 9/11. O most loving God, forgive and show mercy upon us who have disobeyed you in the United States, who are followers of you, Lord God, who no longer have the belief, as our Christian unity in America has dropped below 40%. You, though God, are the most compassionate and merciful, Lord, and you will not chastise us in the wealth or instruct us in your anger. Otherwise, we revert to chaos at the beginning before we came into existence. During these difficult times, be with us. So we're talking to God and saying, God, you know, we have done things wrong, and we're asking you to cover us and protect us and to provide us the knowledge, not only personally, but in our government. Lord God, make us strong, for we have placed our hope in you. We are fortified and encouraged by your name. May your word be confirmed, Lord, which you have spoken to us, that you will be with us always, even in the end of the age. May the hopes of the Christians be raised high, and may those who threaten us be put to shame. May those who threaten us with war and battles be terrified, shamed, and scattered, and may their power be destroyed, and their dominion be no more. And they will know indeed that your name is the Lord, and you alone are the Most High. Hear the voice of our supplication, O Lord, and turn away from us the dangers that threaten the human race. Dissolve clouds of devastation from the possible war, and solidify your peace among us. And knowing that we have a possibility of war with Russia and China and Iraq and Iran, that, Lord God, that you will oversee it. You will take the men out of and women out of the 195 countries, and you will put upon them the blessing of the indwelling of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, today we open doors to all the hearers, that they too understand who you are, and that they too will believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For Lord God, you think it, and the Lord Jesus speaks it, and the Holy Spirit does it, the indwelling Spirit, as we come together this day in one body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Tolbert. It's a perfect way to start the show, and I've been really saying a lot. Say a prayer for America. Say a prayer for the world. We are in very troubled times, and there is an evilness that has taken over the souls of so many, and the saddest part is those who really pretend to be out there to help us and to support us and to represent us, when in fact they've been taken over by some kind of demons and are willing to cause harm to a lot of people and cause harm to our country, to take away our freedom and our rights. It's a very sad, it's a sad day for many reasons, the obvious events that happened on 9/11. And then, but how, where we're at today, have we really progressed? And I think, no, we haven't. It's gone just the other way around. And the confusion is people don't truly understand who the enemy is. We have to understand this part or we're never going to get past it. And it's really sad. I mean, I go back, and we talked about this last week or the week before, thinking about the Republican Party. Charlie Kirk was talking about this today. I thought it was really interesting that he was calling out the GOP. I sent him an email, and in fact, I copied you on it. You saw the email I sent to him. And it's like these people who keep thinking that they can just, the Republican Party is going to solve all your problems. They're not. They're part of the problem. And we got some really interesting stuff we're going to get into tonight, and I'm going to go to Karen here in just a minute. But understanding how we got here with the evilness of both sides. And the other part, what we learned today recently, Jovan Pulitzer, he's a forensic, an audit forensic person on the election stuff, massive information. It's He was on the Cowboy Logic thing over the weekend, and then I was just there was a Zoom meeting with him today too. I didn't get to sit in the whole thing because of working, but there was so much information on what's really happening with these elections, and it, when it mentioned the consent decree, this was back in '82 when this was done, and it's like there was a the two political parties make agreements with each other of how they're going to manipulate our elections. This is why I keep saying we've got to get away from it. I mean, if I was the prayer I would, dear Lord, help us, please, if there was ever a time, if there was ever a time for us to get rid of these two very corrupt political parties, now is it. If I could make things happen, you know, I'm going to keep saying prayers, and I'm going to hope that that enough other people join me and we get an answer to the prayers. Let Trump and Kennedy run as two independents and shut down both of these parties. I personally believe if they were to run as no party affiliates, independents, whatever you want to call it, that would be the end of the DNC and the RNC. The people are so fed up with both of them. And right now, both of the DNC doesn't like Kennedy and the RNC doesn't like Trump. It's the perfect time to shut them both down. They are the evilness, the enemies. And how the other enemies, like the Bush family, in my own opinion, anybody can make their own decision, but the Bush family, how they manipulate the system to their benefit, to our detriment, and to harm us. It's absolutely, absolutely terrible. It's just beyond me to see how people can be so evil. And just to go back with the thing with the Bush, now, I mean, 9/11, the Bush family, George W. Bush in this case, he was the president. Think we've had 12 years of Bush presidencies. The first one went out there and did the executive order, sold us out, so put America on the market. Anybody can come buy it. Lord only knows how much foreign ownership there really is of this country because of what they did. And, of course, we have a Congress who doesn't seem to know a thing about it, a GOP that doesn't seem to know a thing about it. And then he signed us on to Agenda 21, global war, the New World Order, globalist stuff. So that was George H.W. Bush, and then Junior comes along, George W. Bush, and so many times we've heard over and over again that there was information that they should have known to prevent 9/11. And back then it's like, I didn't really know what to think. It's like, I don't know. Are they really that evil? Are these people who profess to support and represent us really that evil? And the truth is, yes, they are. They've proven it. They have proven beyond any reasonable doubt to me that they are this evil. And this is why we have to understand, identify the enemy. You've got to get past these stupid parties. We've got to call out how corrupt the political parties are, how unconstitutional these parties are. And there's a lot to be done. I mean, it was just very, very interesting, the things that I have recently been hearing. And we have to do it. And I really do think if we could somehow get the message out there, Trump and Kennedy, run as NPAs. We've got more no party out of one group of individuals. There's more no party affiliates than anything else. There's more no party affiliates than the Democrats or the Republicans. And then if you combined all the other ones together, people are totally fed up with the corruption and lack of any kind of ethics and integrity. With the two political parties, and they've been they truly own our elections. They don't own them as much at more of the local level kind of stuff, even though they're still heavily engaged. But when it comes to the president and vice president, they own it. We don't have a say in it because of the way they're doing it. And then this consent decree of manipulating ballot security, it's unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable to me. Of how this has gotten, how bad it is. It really is. It's terrible. But in reference to the 9/11 stuff, and I see we've got a couple of people ready to talk. I see Karen and I see Joe out there. We've got to truly understand because of George W. Bush. What happened after that was the Patriot Act. And that was the beginning. They're gnawing away. They have been gnawing away since 92, taking away our rights, and truly 82 when you think about the consent decree, which was back in 82. Gnawing away, just taking little by little, And people would be, okay, well, we had this attack. We got to do something. I never supported the Patriot Act. Very unconstitutional. A very big part of the problem we're having today. And unfortunately, we have one U.S. Supreme Court Justice, Kavanaugh, who helped create the Patriot Act. He was part of that process. How disgusting is that? So we've got to face the fact of who the enemy is. Please, people, understand the Republican Party, it's a uniparty. And what I sent to Charlie Kirk earlier is like, understanding that, once again, the Democrats are much smarter than the Republicans will ever dream of being, I guess, because the Democrats, they ran as Republicans. I remember when I was running for office in Orange County, when I was running as a Republican, it was a nonpartisan race, so to that degree it didn't matter, but it was I was a Republican, and they kept saying, just run as a Democrat and you'll get elected. This is the mentality of the voter. Just follow that little sign, DR. And because people were so gullible and they would just vote for a party, this is how the Republican Party was totally taken over by the Democrats, or they're just instinctively, naturally evil, too. Take your pick. But it didn't take much to take over the Republican Party, because very few of them have any true guts or any ethics, integrity, whatever. And I put on the show page today the, obviously, information on the Constitution and some of the things in reference to 9/11. But I also put out there the link to the House of Representatives, U.S. House of Representatives and U.S. Senate. Excuse me. And you can do this on your own. I just put it out there so it's convenient. Go to those sites. Call these representatives. Call these senators. We have got to pound the message to them, and we also have to get more engaged in what is going on with the with these elections, what a poll watcher is. You know, just sitting there watching them do stuff doesn't mean anything. Again, some of the information that came out from Jovan Pulitzer, he explaining this was out in Arizona. The guy has reviewed millions and millions of ballots. And the ones that were supposed to be mail-in ballots that were perfectly flat sheets, new sheets, they were not hand-filled in. It was, you could easily tell by looking at them. It was a machine that filled them in. And there was something like so many thousand Biden votes before with no Trump votes, which would never happen either. But the fact that the paper was new and never folded, no creases in it, it proved it wasn't real. It proved it was bogus. Those were not mail-in ballots. A mail-in ballot would be folded. So there was all the evidence. And when one of the poll workers, I guess, said something about it, one of the agents, whoever it was, who was counting them, said something about it, was pretty much told, you're not here to think about those things. You're here to count. Just count, shut up. Don't be starting those kind of problems. You just shut up and do your job. You weren't paid to think. You're paid to count. Something to that effect. So anyway, it's just amazing as to where we're at now. And people are finally starting to kind of understand the Republican Party is not your answer. The answer is us. Excuse me. And we've got to get out there, and we've got to take back this ballot box. It's just, and I'm telling you, anybody has any word out there, any way they can get it to Trump or to Kennedy, run as no party affiliates. Get out of these two parties. People are sick of them. There's also a thing coming up with Kennedy in a town hall or an open forum where you can submit questions. I'll try to remember to get you that link by the end of the show. And, you know, like, Kennedy's a Democrat, Trump is a Republican. Do I care about their party affiliations? No. I care about what they're standing for, because neither one of them can truly align with what either of these parties are today. No, so I don't care. I want to learn more about those two people. Oh, there was a joke over the weekend. In case you didn't see it, you can go out there and look. It was kind of funny. Somebody did a mock-up of DeSantis conceding that he was pulling out of the presidential race and that he admitted he was wrong and he knew that Trump was really the person who should be it and all that stuff. It was kind of funny. And I'm kind of like, yeah, that's really what he should really, really say. If he would say that, he would reestablish some credibility. But as it is today, he has lost most of that credibility. So with that being said, let me get Karen in here. Karen, you and I were talking about this consent decree and all this other stuff going on with the election. So, and I know you were on that call, the Zoom call today as well. I want to go ahead and fill in some of the blanks. I was very high level of what I'm saying here, but it's amazing what is truly going on and how, I guess, Obama manipulated it through the consent decree as well. It's just disgusting. Anyway,
well, the consent decree, and thank you so much for having me on, Sally. The consent decree was signed about 40 years ago in 1980-something. And what the Democrats did, they are very smart, and we know that. And the Republicans are very stupid, and we know that too. And what they did was they found in a district in New Jersey that there was, I believe it was gerrymandering or something going on, some impropriety with an election. So they went to the Republicans and they said, we're going to sue you. And we're going to sue you for mega money. And if we do that, you're going to be in a bad position. But if you sign this consent decree, which says you will not ever talk about election fraud, we won't sue you. So over the years, if you listen to the talking heads, especially the GOP, you will never hear them say election fraud, election fraud. Well, every year after that, I think it was supposed to be a 10-year decree, something like that. I'm not 100% sure about the length of time. But every year after that, when it expired, the Democrats would go to a liberal judge and they would extend the decree. Well, they extended it for about 40 years. And in 2018, it was finally up. The problem is it was so entrenched not to talk about election fraud that now they still don't talk about election fraud, and they're almost like, we can't talk about it. We'll get sued. And that's why the Democrats are continually going after them in the courts, because they learned that this is the fear factor for the Republicans. Just tell them you're going to sue them, and they'll jump through hoops to not have that happen. Well, this is where we are today. There is no consent decree, although Jovan did believe that Ronna McDaniel will sign another one if the Democrats go to her and say, we're going to sue you. And the donors can't have that, so they will sign another one. So we have to make sure that that does not happen. Now, the other interesting thing, I thought his seminar was incredible, very informative, and it's something that we all should be paying attention to because, frankly, it doesn't matter who we elect. If we don't have fair elections, it's not going to make any difference who we elect in the primary if we don't have elections that are fair. And apparently the easiest target of what we can go after are the signatures. Because as they are pushing mail-in ballots, which is what they are going to do because they're going to call a COVID emergency, and that's another thing that we have to say no to and make sure that as many people as we know that this is a scam, and it is a scam so that they will introduce mail-in ballots. They have to have mail-in ballots because that's where the fraud comes from. And what he was saying was they use artificial intelligence on mail-in ballots to check signatures against the signature on the voter registration card. Well, they used to do what they called, he's a forensic scientist, so they used 15 points, key points, that when you put one signature on top of the other, it should match up by 15 points. Well, they changed that, and now they only use 1 point. So if you have a signature that is erroneous, but it has a strike line through it, and the original signature has a strike line through it, or an S looks like an 8, or some quirky thing that you may do in your signature, if you have one of those matching points, then they will pass the signature as being legit. And if you look at signatures at all, you can see that many of them were written by the same people, and we're talking about in Arizona, and the people in Arizona that filled in the signature on the mail-in ballots happened to be poll workers, which is why, surprise, surprise, there were no creases in the ballots, as you were saying before. So what he was asked, what is the most of all of the things that you talked about, what is the most important that we can tackle right now? And that would be to get the voter rolls and match the voter rolls in signature, in address. I wrote it down in, what was the other one? Oh, in birthday, and looking for duplicates as they would merge together. So he has a procedure that he follows. There is what he calls the Axe Academy. Let me get the exact wording. Fire FireAxe.academy. And in this academy, he lays out exactly the plan that you would be able to follow to be able to check all of this. And he has seminars and webinars and all kinds of things. He's going to be on my radio show, which, by the way, is on Saturday and Sunday, 7 and 9. And it is, the noise you're hearing in the background is Benny, my dog, who always makes noise when I get on the show. So nothing has changed. He's a little socialist. But anyway, going to the Axe Academy and signing up, it is Jovan, J-O-V-A-N, Hutton, H-U-T-T-O-N, Pulitzer, P-U-L-I-T-Z-E-R, and that is will take you to his Substack. I would suggest that you sign up and get his daily emails or his daily Substack notes, because everything is directed to what we can do to secure our elections. And he's absolutely right. We are running out of time, and this is a major problem. So that is, as we say, a clear and present danger. Because if we don't have the right, if we don't have the right election apparatus, like I said before, it doesn't matter who's running, as we saw in the last election.
The one other thing he said real quick, and then I want to get Joe in here. Again, the focus, as we've been talking about the last few weeks, the focus is the elections. If we don't take care of this election, it doesn't matter. The He's got the patents on these barcodes and a lot of this information. It was very interesting. Nobody wants to call him as an expert in any of these cases. I wonder why. And then this goes on both sides. You would think the GOP would be out there, here, get in here, show, prove all this stuff, but they don't want it either, which is kind of goes back to what's happening here in Florida. Well, why do they not want us to have a manual paper count of these things? Because they don't want us to know how screwed up and crooked the machines are. The machines are being rigged. So it comes down to these barcodes and how they read them and how trying to have a forensic audit of the ballots. The only way you can do it is if you see the ballots, and they do everything they can to stop you from seeing the ballots because it's all being manipulated in that machine. It is totally disgusting. So, and then the other part, he was saying something in reference to be a poll watcher, you know, when you're seeing them count the vote, whatever, really doesn't mean anything because it's the machines that are rigged. If you don't do something, the machines themselves are rigged. If you can't do something to secure the right of that paper ballot, which is what happened in Georgia, they ran out of time, and, oh, well, we couldn't storm any longer. 2 years is long enough. Now we need to go out there and we have to destroy them. So, anyway, if you can hold on just a second.
He made a very interesting comment, I thought, and that was that the machines are to verify the human count, not the other way around. The humans are not to verify the count of the machine. The machine is supposed to be the last resort to count the human count. So if you have, and it don't allow your legislator, your local official to tell you, your county commissioners, that it takes too long to count manually. No, it doesn't. If you say, We have, what, 20, 30,000 people in the XYZ County, and we're going to have 30 people come in and hire them for a couple of hours, and each one will count the votes. It's not difficult. It's a lot cheaper than the machines. No, people don't realize that either. It is a lot cheaper. He also made a very interesting point about Mike Lindell's his technology.
Device.
His device, and he's absolutely right. Mike Lindell, as much as he wanted to get it out and give people hope, should have kept it quiet. Because once you have something like that, I was in the telecommunications industry, and as fast as you can write code, somebody else can overwrite your code. So knowing that an IP address can be picked up by the device allows them the ability to have rolling IP addresses, so you can never find what address it's coming from. So they are very sneaky. They hate America. They hate Americans. And all they care about is taking this over. Before I go, Sally, I'd like to add one more thing. This was a very, very critical decision that was made last week. And the Supreme Court made a decision in the Missouri case and said that the Obama administration overstepped and really squashed the First Amendment with the censorship and what they forced Big Tech to do. And yes, they forced Big Tech to do it. I'm sure Big Tech wanted to, but that's irrelevant. By coming up with certain parameters and guidelines and telling Big Tech how to run their business and censoring conservatives, that was a big problem. But I don't think people realize that that idea of the government managing business was a bill that was signed by Obama. His parting gift to us was two bills. One of them was called the Smith-Mundt Act, it's Smith and then it's M-U-N-D-T, and it was signed or initiated by a Republican, everyone. And this act was a revision of an old act which gave the government permission to make sure that Big Tech was not disseminating erroneous information. So there was the whole censorship deal. And this bill needs to be repealed, especially based on the Supreme Court's decision. That was a real, real biggie. And should never have been in place. Obama did another thing also. He was so nice. And he allowed, I think it was in his last day in office, he merged the technology of all of the 17 intelligence agencies. They used to be able to gather information, but if I needed information on Sally and it was held by the IRS and I was DHS, well, I could go and I could interact with the IRS, but I have to ask them and be specific and have a warrant. Yeah. Not anymore. Everything is on the huge database, which, as Glenn Beck described it, is in Utah and the size of 5 football fields. So it's 5 times bigger than the mall and area in D.C., and that houses all of the surveillance information on every single one of us. Every place we go, there are cameras. Everything we do, every keystroke we make is being monitored, watched, recorded. And then if one of the agencies says, oh, I need some information on Sally, I just go and look it up on the database. I need to see what Karen has been doing. I don't have to go to their Twitter account. I just go look it up on the database. It's all housed there. And this was a big deal that Obama put Americans in.
Obama did it with the blessing of the Republicans.
Yes, he could not have done it without the help of the Republicrats. They are disgusting. And right now, everybody should be calling their legislator and saying, no CR, no, do not allow this man. 4,000 illegals came over the border today. 4,000. And it is beyond disgusting.
Yeah, I know you're going to have to drop off a little bit earlier than usual, but Joe was saying something in the middle there. So, Joe, what
was the government?
And,
the government which was created for the District of Columbia via the Act of 1871 operates under private international law, not common law, which was the law of the Constitutional Republic. You know, this is very important to note since it impacts all of us in many concrete ways. You know, I mean, you're not going to get any justice or whatever you say. It doesn't matter because while the Passage Act of 1871 is a series of overt deceptions that were put in motion a long time ago, all in conjunction and collusion with Congress, who knowingly and deliberately sold the people down the river, okay? And they did this through the international bankers. And that's why we can't get any rights today. And you're not going to get any rights until everyone understands that you know, by failing to disclose what they did to the American people, the people have become ignorant of what's happening over time, and lots of times the Republic took it on the chin, the point of a knockdown with the surrender of the gold, with a surrender of their gold in 1933. The people surrendered their law, and the people essentially surrendered their law. This is the way Roman civil law works, and our form of governance today is based upon Roman civil law and Admiralty maritime law, better known as divine rights of kings and the law of the seas. We don't have a republic anymore. So when you call these people, these politicians, when you're writing to them, how does it feel all your life to know? Have you seen any victories? Has these people done anything that benefits the people over all these years that you've been alive? Have you ever seen anything that has benefited the people other than them taking away our rights slowly but surely? Obama, Bush, Trump, Biden, it don't matter. They all do the same thing. Over all my life, they've done the same thing, haven't they? The economy goes up. It goes down. And they just want more and more and more. And they're going to take it, and they're going to continue to do it. And things are going to continue to get worse, and they're not going to change until people wake up to this fact and restore our lawful de jure government. That means by unseating all these people who don't speak like what I'm speaking right now. I mean, it's the only way. It's the only way. And there is no other way. You can vote for this. You can vote for that. You can vote Trump back in. You can do whatever you want to do. But until the republic is restored and our de jure government is reseated in Congress, there is nothing we can do. The oath of office, they violated their oath of office. The United States of America, they changed the title on it. All this stuff's been changed deceitfully and very clever. And they've done this throughout many, many years. The bankers know this, and they're very evil, and they work through time. And they understand that because they think they're working for whatever their elite devil or whatever they worship, you know, all these secret societies, whatever they worship and have their seances or whatever, and their sacrifices of blood and children and that's all that other stuff they do. It don't matter. They've usurped our republic. Our republic is not a constitutional republic anymore. So how can we get our rights today? What don't matter what we're voting on or what we're saying. It's all lip service. We're wasting time because the New World Order is fast approaching. And they're getting more bold, more and more bold. Look at them suspending our Second Amendment. They're just saying it. Suspend that. And there's nothing we can do about it. What are you going to do? Well, you know, I just explained it to you what we're operating. This is Roman civil law, and it's a form of governance today. It's based upon Roman civil law and Admiralty maritime law. It's divine rights of the kings. They rule. The District of Columbia rules over all of us. And they'll send the boys in, the IRS, with the uniforms, the police or whatever, who are dumbed down, don't know what they're doing, don't know the truth that I just told you. And they'll kill you. They'll raid your house. They'll shoot you. They'll drag you off into prison. And you just kick and scream all the way. But until we, the people, get together and start doing this in mass numbers, waking up the people and stop focusing on their games and all the other nonsense that doesn't matter, none of this is going to change. And it's going to get worse.
Yeah, but
and mark my words.
Okay. Now, is that what you were real quick here? When you in the chat, you were saying something about something important.
Well,
was it going into this piece of it? Yeah. Okay.
Well, I, wanted. Okay. I had a 6-minute clip that would say it even better than the way I said it. I had a 6-minute clip that could basically basically explains it in more detail, but in better, articulate terms, I guess you could say, in a programming style that probably many people should listen to, and that's what we have to do, Sally. Everything else that we're doing is really a waste of time. When you think about it, I mean, have you had any victories? Do you see any win on this? You say it every show, we're in trouble. I mean, is there any change really happening? I mean, no, it can't.
Well,
you know,
the dumbing down of people. Go ahead, Karen.
Say I see it, especially what just happened yesterday. And again, the people are beginning to wake up. This is happening all over the world. In Greece, they're going nuts because they're not going to accept the digital ID, which is what they're trying to put in place. But right in our home state of New Mexico, where the governor has suspended the Second Amendment, the sheriff said, and so did the mayor of Albuquerque, said, I don't care what she says, we believe in the Second Amendment and we're not going to follow her laws. Well, those are the people that we need to put in office, and we have to support them. We can't put them office and then go away and go back to sleep and think they're going to do everything. We've got to say,
and can I just say something?
Great.
That's
what we need. And more people have to do that. And if more and more people do that, then things will change. It's not going to change overnight. We didn't get here overnight. We got here over 100 years. Maybe it won't take 100 years to clear it up, but it's not going to happen tomorrow. So we're making incredible changes. The parents getting involved in the schools is a great start, although you need to get your kids out of public school. I'll say that over and over again. Until things really change, which will probably
be a very long
time.
Yeah.
But
if we have,
people are becoming
we have the
aware,
attention.
And that has been swept under the rug for way too long. Sally,
yeah.
I am going to have to leave, and I really appreciate it, and I hope everybody can visit the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, look at my show, The Prism of America's Education, and I will see you next week. And thank you for the wonderful job you guys are doing, because that's what we need. People have to be in
thank
pain
you.
Before they'll make a change. And that's
amen
really
to that one. Okay. Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it.
Well,
we'll talk to you next week.
I agree.
Go ahead, Joe.
I agree with what she's saying. That's true. But, however, if we have the people's attention, then they have to be saying that what I was trying to say, and I don't know if you got time or not, but that 6-minute clip, that's really what your listeners should be listening to. And if we have the people's attention, then and they're starting to wake up, then this is how we have to do it. We have to put everything else down, like I always tell you. You know, like the Federal Reserve, you have to focus like a laser beam on one thing, because they got us dancing around too many subjects and too many areas and too many problems.
Right.
What she said about a sheriff saying they're not going to enforce it. Listen. I go back to my pot. 10 years ago, Sheriff Stephen Reams in Colorado, he said the same thing. I'm not going to enforce this, enforce that. 10 years ago. That was 10 years ago. There's a video on the Internet when I interviewed the sheriff in Michigan on a podcast show. He said the same thing. That, you know, so it's going to take 50 years for us to fix this? No, that's not going to happen. I mean, we're not seeing the change or the battles that we may be getting tiny little wins here and there, or we may feel good about what we hear some people say. But you're right. We have to elect people who understand. But then electing people to a de facto, we have to understand that once they're elected, they have to usurp this de facto and make it into the du jour like it was. They can't continue on with the codification of the laws and the statutes and the UCC law and the Admiralty Maritime Law and the Roman Civil Law. We can't continue down that road. We got to go back to common law. And until you get politicians who are willing to stand up and say that, common law, and use the nullification procedures and process, then you're not going to see any change, really. You know, you're not. And Federal Reserve, don't forget, owns us.
And are we still on the path to say it's the election? To me, election 2024 is truly Judgment Day. If we aren't able to somehow take back some portion of this government to have some control over it, then I don't think we have the United States of America is truly gone. It's history.
Yeah.
I mean, close to being history then.
Yeah.
So, and then everything with Jovan,
he
was talking about what you do to take that ballot box back, what we have to do to restore some the people in office the way we need to. It's really as amazing information that he was saying. But he was focusing on the election, if it's the election or nothing. And I think that's the truth, the election. But, you know, getting back to the U.S. corporation, the 1871 thing, where there's those that definitely don't think people just don't want to believe that they did that in such a way. And they're technically not supposed to have any, by the way they were, by the way I was understanding and the different conversations we've had, they technically only have jurisdiction over the 10 square miles of D.C.
Well, yeah.
Yet they're dictating the whole country. We don't really have any representatives is what it comes down to.
No, yeah. Well, it's divine rights of the kings. It says law of the seas, and that's what the people have to understand. It's a different type of government. It's a corporate. It's a corporate body of death mongers and controllers. It's unlawful. We're being ruled by de facto. You know, so when you hear some individuals say that the Constitution is null and void, think about how our government has transformed over time from a municipal or service-orientated entity to a corporate or profit-orientated entity. Think about that. We're living under the myth that this is lawful, but it is not, you know. I mean, it's really interesting. If you look back at your life and you see that, it's just that one statement that I made right there. Just think about that, the service. And, you know, I mean, it's changed so much. The government, which was created for the District of Columbia via that Act of 1871, operates under private international law, not common law. And, you know, so we have to understand that until we all can say you're right, then, you know, I mean, just refer to the United States Code, Title 28-3002, 15 A, B, and C. It is stated unequivocally that the United States is a corporation. You know,
really,
that corporation is not a separate and distinct entity from the government. It is the government, your government. This is extremely important, you know. I mean, that people understand that. I refer to this because the corporate empire of the United States, which operates under this Roman civil law, it's crazy. Ask your congressman about this. You know, I mean, ask your senator. Call when you say call these people. Ask them about those questions and see what they have to say. You know, Congress.
No,
is fully aware of this.
I have been myself. I mean, I've called them. Plus, I've sent information. And so I said, prove to me this isn't true. Let me know why I should not believe the U.S. corporation thing. And, of course, you never get an answer. But the fact they won't answer anything, and they totally dodge.
Yeah,
anybody who actually
won't
has
you,
a clue what's going on, they don't want to answer anything. What's that?
Yeah, yeah. Your legislators will not apprise you of this information. As a slave, you're entitled to nothing other than what the corporation decides to give you at a price, you know, and be wary of accepting all those so-called benefits of the corporation in the United States. You know, aren't we enslaved enough? I mean, you know, when we think about it, I mean...
Yeah, and what is
it's
it going to take to get the right people? I mean, literally with what we were talking about earlier, how these two political parties, in conjunction with the U.S. corporation, of course, or with the blessing or whatever you want to call it, these two corporations called the DNC and the RNC, they are so corrupt, they have totally taken total control over this election. And to me, it's so disgusting. And how we get out of that, too. And then going back to how do we take this back? How do we take back the ballot box? How do we get real people in these offices to get rid of this other garbage that's in there? I mean, can you believe it? Pelosi is still going to run again. I mean, come on.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, yeah. We have to have a revolution of thought. We need to change our thinking. And you know, and that's how we have to do it. And that's the only way we can do it, is because we have to get out of this box that we think. I always say it all the time. It's like when I hear people talk, even on my show or other shows, you'll hear somebody make a comment like my tax dollars, or they'll say something like that. I'm like, I cringe, you know. Or when I hear democracy, we're not a democracy. We're supposed to be a republic. You know, I hear these things, these words, and see that light bulb has already been turned on, so you can't turn that off for me. And that's what people have to do. We have to turn on that light bulb for these people. And once that light bulb goes on, like, you'll be shaking your head, no, 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 no. Just like when your friend was speaking there. I know she's kind-hearted, and she means well, and she's a true patriot, but she's not going about it the right way. She should be out there using the powers to be in her voice that she has with to touch all these people, saying the exact things I was just saying, if not in a different way. You know, and I don't know how much time, like I said, you got. I really like to sometime, if you don't have time tonight, it's fine, but I'd like to play that six-minute clip. It really articulates it in such a – I played it for somebody about four nights ago, and they were like – and this person was very well educated and very well smart in history, and then it finally clicked. Boop, wow, you're right. You know, it's like, now I got it, now I understand your argument. Because sometimes you just – you know, it's like the way you say words or like it's you. You're awake. You know, obviously you're trying to wake other people up, or you'll say a certain phrase, and then all of a sudden somebody will say, oh, I got it. Okay, I understand where you're coming from. But you've been trying for so long to get it through people's heads, and it's like, what am I saying? That just isn't working. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and the truth is that when I know we got Brother Warren out there and possibly Sarge out there or John Doe, so I'm going to open up to them. But, yeah, I definitely want you to play that. We can maybe say at 8 o'clock or maybe a little after 8, we'll have you play on here. Because
okay.
People do need to understand it. And, I mean, time and time again over the years, it's like, yes, Agenda 21 is real. This UN One World Order, which is playing off of how they've corrupted this government. How have we allowed this corruption?
I actually have to step out, and I'll try to get back in by 8:35, somewhere around there. So hopefully that'll work for you. I have to step out. Actually,
okay.
I've got about 5 minutes though, but I'm just saying I've got to step out though in about 5 minutes, unfortunately.
Okay.
Sorry,
well, when you join back in, that's okay.
Right.
That's okay. No problem. I understand. When you join back, if you're able to tonight, then we'll play the
the
audio
sure.
you're talking about. So okay, thank you, Joe. Okay,
sure.
Let's see. This is either Brother Warren or Sarge or someone else. Hello,
This is Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up Show, Sally. I'm so glad to be here. And, you know, I was just thinking today, about you and Joe. You and Joe are class X. Joe that just on a line, he said he was going to come back. And I said, Sally and Joe, let Brother Warren come on their forums and speak. And as a result of that, and I was thinking on this hard today, drinking some beer, and I said, I know Sally and Joe are not racist at all. If anybody tried to say that, I would be the first one to say that's not the case. However, Sally, there are other people who refuse to let me in on these forums, and they're hiding something. But anyway, I want to keep your show in perspective. You started the show out discussing 9/11. So it is 9/11. So let's look at the significance of 9/11. Okay, now the first 9/11 people don't think about occurred in 1973 in Chile, where this democratically elected president was overthrown by the CIA and a dictator was put in. Okay, now that so don't forget about, so it's 50 years since that happened. Salvador Allende was overthrown, and he was democratically elected. But one of the things when I listen to the programs that your fellow Blog Talk hosts have about 9/11, I was trying to get on one last night. I was blocked. I wasn't allowed to get in one last night. They told me my kind wasn't allowed, but that's okay. I still listen anyway. They kept talking about what was seen in terms of the Twin Towers collapse and all that, that what we've been told is not true. Okay, I'll buy that to an extent. There's a lot of talk about what we were told about how these things happened, the Pentagon, that's not true. But nobody talks about who they think did this, number one. That's the first thing not talked about, who they think did this. And number two, the people who lived in Manhattan, not too far from all this, the death and the psychological problems that exist among the people that actually lived in the area right there. Now, none of us were anywhere, at least those of us that are on the phone, because I was in New York that time 2 weeks before. I was visiting an aunt who lived, she's dead now, but she was living in Manhattan. We were there 2 weeks before that occurred. But none of us was there when it happened, nor were we at the Pentagon. So none of us can say, I was listening last night and people were saying, well, I'm an expert in steel and steel don't burn, all this kind of stuff. We only saw what we was allowed to see by camera and everything. We don't know what may have been cleaned up or altered. One theory somebody suggested on one show this morning was that Iran was behind it. Let's knock that foolishness out right now, because if the U.S. really believed Iran did it, they would have bombed and invaded them a long time ago. But we do have talk about the day that happened, there was some Israelis on the scene around there. In fact, I put something in the chat with reference to that. So all I want to say is none of that stuff is talked about. Who believed who did it? Because a lot of those guys on those airplanes supposedly were what? Saudi nationals. So if they were Saudi nationals, how come Afghanistan gets invaded? How come Iraq gets invaded? Why no invasion of Saudi Arabia? So I just have all these kind of questions there, Taylor, as it relates to 9/11.
Okay, well, and, you know, we do know, I mean, it was happening in Florida where these individuals were getting flight lessons, flight training. But they didn't worry about, they weren't concerned about how to land. So, I mean, I think they know who did it. The sad fact is because of the government we have. That's why I mentioned with George W. Bush, the Bush people are definitely globalist. Prescott Bush hated Hitler. We go back, and what party do they belong to? The Republican Party. So the parties don't mean anything. You got to know these people. And I know a lot of Republicans who would still today say the Bushes were just something wonderful. But I can't help but wonder.
I like it when people say there was no plane that hit the towers. The planes definitely hit the towers, trust me.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, you know? We have that on TV. And when it comes to the actual collapse of things, I said all along, and it's still my belief, it wasn't strictly those planes that took them down. I do believe, because I do recall several years before that, and I think Clinton was the president at the time, they had a bombing in one of the World Trade Center towers. It was not big enough to do that kind of damage, but they did an attempt there. So I myself believed there were other kinds of explosives in those buildings that took them down. I don't think the planes alone took them down, especially at that high where they hit them. But that's just my own. Ask me to prove it. I can't prove it. That's just my own theory or belief about it, because something just doesn't quite make sense about it all. Try to make sense. But more important, going back to the part of Bush, what was really the role? Did they have a chance to stop it? Did they have information? Did they ignore it? Why would they have ignored it, especially after there had been the one bombing? Now, the 9/11, to me, the significance was because we used 9/11 as our emergency number thing. So that was the significance of them using that day. So, and other things going on, I'm not going to argue some of those points. I think we know a lot more. We'll never know the truth because, unfortunately, we have some evil people. But I myself, I never voted for a Bush, never. I voted third party just about every time. Very rarely do I vote for either of the parties. And when you know the Patriot Act, the key significance of the Patriot Act, and it's still there today, and they've had many chances to retire it, to sunset it, and they keep putting it out there. And which that's why you have to have this massive data center. Everything we're supposed to be, we're not. It's been totally taken over by some evildoers. Now, people will listen to good old George W. Bush sing his southern twang and how, you know, he a Christian boy and whatever else, and the way he would pretend. I mean, I don't think he's a Christian at all. I mean, that's my own opinion. At least I don't think Christians would do this to each other. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. But they're going to play whatever play, just like the Democrat is going to run as a Republican. If you wanted to take over the Republican Party, how would you do it? What would be the most efficient, fastest way to do it in a society where the people have been dumbed down to the point that all they do is, well, it's a Republican, and I trust the RNC because they always take care of it. The RNC is going to be supporting them. I trust them. If you're going to drink all the Kool-Aid they give you, then this is what you're going to get. And that's exactly what's happened. So it's like, yeah, and like I said earlier, literally people told me to run as a Democrat and I would get elected. If I ran as a Republican, I wasn't going to get elected. If I ran as a Democrat, I'd get elected. So if the mentality of the average public out there is to say, yeah, whatever party you're in, that's where you're, that's how we're going to vote. Because the lesser of two evils, how many times I heard that? The lesser of two evils, and it would be so disgusting, and that's where I would say, okay. And somebody said it, well, I don't know if it was Charlie Kirk or whoever, but it's so true, and we've said it on the show here. Okay, the Democrats are coming at you straight on. They've come out and just about pretty much told you they are Marxist. Everything they're doing, you see it coming at you. This is what they're doing to you.
Now, Sally, let me ask you a question, Sally.
Hold on real quick. Let me finish this.
All right,
the Republicans. The Republicans are the ones who act like they're all against what the Democrats are doing. No, 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 we don't believe any of that. Of course, what is McCarthy doing right now? Doing everything opposite of what he said. And this is why many of us said McCarthy should not be the speaker. He's too much of a hypocrite. He's too much of a liberal. He's a Democrat, the true rhino, a Democrat who ran as a Republican. He came out of the state of California, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so no surprise. You can go ahead and comment, and then I'm going to get the other caller, which could be Sarge, could be John Doe, could be somebody else. So.
Well, let me say this, Sally. Now, I personally don't have problems with Marxists. I don't have problems with it. But when you say the Democrats are Marxists, I mean, you have to be kidding. I mean, you really have to be joking. I mean,
nope.
Because when you look at big money is behind the Democrat Party. And big money are capitalists. And the capitalists surely wouldn't want to surrender their liberty of making a profit by any means necessary to Marxists. So I think, you know, you kind of go overboard when you accuse the Democrats of being Marxists. Now, does the Democratic Party harbor certain things that could be considered liberal in terms of behavior? Yes, but that wouldn't make them Marxists, what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, and that's fine. You're more than welcome to believe that. I believe when you try to do everything you can to take away the people's rights and to put them down into taking away all this nonsense where they're taking away the fuel, take away that, you can't have a gas stove, and it's all Democrats who are doing this stuff openly.
Yeah, but you just said the Republicans passed the Patriot Act, so you're contradicting yourself.
What? But you didn't hear, are you telling me you didn't hear what I said about George W. Bush? I just told
yeah,
you he
but,
was
but,
a,
but,
I told you he was a rhino.
He
is a Marxist, he's a
globalist. But what you say they're Marxists?
Yeah, I that's what I said. Yes, the Republicans are Marxists too. The Democrats who ran as Republicans. I said right along. Look what Bush did. Look what Bush Senior H.W. did, and look what Junior did. They're the globalists. And Prescott Bush the elder, he was the one who aided Hitler. This is what they did, and this is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I am totally going against what the. What the Bush, I never voted for Bush, and you try to tell people this, and you still have Republicans out there today who think they will worship the ground they walk on. If you're going to drink that Kool-Aid, so I'm with you. I said the Patriot Act is unconstitutional and is part of the taking over this country and is very Marxist. It's taken away our rights, thinking that we should all be a bunch of serfs out here, slaves, serfs, peasants, whatever you want to call it. So
but you don't really believe.
Hold on now. I got the other caller. Is that Sarge or John Doe? And then I do have another caller out there waiting as well.
Hello. Thank goodness, Sally. I got a few things to say in response to what I've heard. Very concrete and very specific. First of all, the reason the United States invaded Afghanistan, I'd like to remind you because a lot of people tend to forget history. Because the Taliban admitted they were giving Sukhor and space to Osama bin Laden and his associates. They admitted it. They said he was their guest. The United States demanded their extradition, and they refused the demand. Now, remember, Taliban were not quite a formal government at that time. They had seized power to a great extent, but they were not yet quite a formal government. There wasn't a formal government in place. We had a warrant, the United States, rather, had a warrant from 1998 for al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden for the two simultaneous embassy attacks that resulted in 220 dead Africans and the United States embassy personnel in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and Nairobi, Kenya. Simultaneous attacks that killed 220 people, which led to a warrant being issued for their arrest from 1998. So after 2001, we knew where they were. The man was to hand them over, and rightly or wrongly, whether you think was right or wrong, invade Afghanistan, it was a perfectly valid reason to launch an invasion to get them when they got no cooperation from the Taliban. That is historical fact, whether anybody likes it or not. Secondly, when people say that, you know, that all these big corporations that are aiding the Democratic Party, and they're supposed to be capitalists, quote, capitalists, unquote, they're really not. But that's what they claim to use an element of the free market system, which is capitalism, to perform their oligarchic functions. But the future is that this is one of the most corrupt mega corporate sectors. That's our brand of new Western Soviet. Yeah, there's your Marxism. A council of stakeholders that knows about the science of right human relations and the keys to sustainable development. So if you support trans rights and getting rid of missions and sustainable environment, all of this, you support these things. Your only path to success in this new system is to become a hollow, soulless functionary in this great big fascistic mega corporate. Remember, fascism and Marxism are kissing cousins. And or a government public-private relationship machine, because Marxists will use anybody in order to attain the keys to power. It's like Mao Zedong. Remember, wokeism is Maoism with an American twist. Remember what Mao did to the Red Guard? He used the Red Guard to get rid of all the olds and usher in the news. That's what they called it, the olds and the news. And then when the Red Guard was no longer useful because they created so much chaos and so much disruption, a whole lot of them got lined up against the wall and shot. Yeah, because they then went on to impose what they called socialist discipline. See, they're ruthless, these Marxists. They will use anybody and anything in order to attain power, because attaining power is all that matters. All that matters. So don't be fooled by the fact that these people use capitalism. They want to make a lot of money, but it doesn't mean they're either not in league with Marxists or they have Marxist sympathies and alliances themselves, because they do. Next of all, I heard the despair in Joe Gibson's voice, and I keep telling Joe, look, Joe, I know where you're coming from, man. I can dig why you're in such despair. I understand. But I'd like to remind the gentleman and everybody else here, from 1763, at the end of the French-Indian War, when the British Crown started to impose onerous taxes on the American colonists, when they started to impose these awful taxes with no representation in Parliament to have a say about how they'd be promulgated, it was 13 years from that point to the Battle of Lexington Concord Bridge. 13 years. They did nothing but talk, to complain. And they talked about how upset they were about what the British got with the Stamp Act and the Intolerable Acts and all that other stuff. They just talk. And even after the battle at Lexington Bridge, even after that, they gave an olive petition to King George in order to solve things in our bloodshed. More talking. Till at last they had enough, and they said, it's time to get it on. Time to start shooting. And there was no looking back from that. So look, I'm not saying we need to wait 13 years, because we probably don't have 13 years. We might not have three. The point of the matter is that it takes people to become educated. It takes people to become informed. It takes time for people to become organized. And when they do, things start to happen. You can see more and more people dissatisfied with this regime they're trying to impose on us from these soulless, fascistic, oligarchic entities that we can't even vote for, like the World Economic Forum and all the rest of them. People are seeing it. They're starting to get there. It's going to take a little bit of momentum. have patience. I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out, but I know one thing. People are not going to continue to accommodate this much longer, Sally. I can bloody well guarantee you that. And finally, let me say this, Sally. When someone is going to critique you, and this is something that I do, and I am scrupulous about doing this, I do not attack anyone in their positions without examining them in rigor and detail and accurately outlining them before I launch a critique on them. Now, you have a show, Sally, with archived shows in it. And one of your shows was a show in which I participated in your show, and I criticized Martin Luther King's belief system, some of them, while acknowledging he was a great man. In fact, I would like to post that in the chat room and let anyone listen to it and listen to what I said about Martin Luther King. I said he was a great man, but I said that his socialist influences and belief system cast a long shadow on the civil rights movement and have adversely affected it at this day. Not at the time he was working to get civil rights legislation, but the socialism that ensued there has crippled it and prevented it from being good for black people and for the country. And I specifically mentioned his socialist affinities in his very own writing. And I went further on to say that Martin Luther King was not a communist. He could not be a communist because he rejected the atheism of Marxism and communism. But he was heavily influenced by the communists in his orbit. And I named them, and I gave their affiliations and the proof, and their self-admitted proof, like Bayard Rustin, that he was a communist. So when I hear people saying that they want to be arrogant about the things they're saying, I know that is either a lie or a misinterpretation, and I'll go with the former rather with the latter. Because, you know, people who are telling the truth are make pains or take pains to tell situations accurately and factually. I do whenever I can. I make sure that I am factually and accurate, historically and accurately correct. If I'm wrong, I'll be happy to admit that I am. But I would love your listeners to listen to that show and every syllable that I said, because I stand by every single word.
Well, Sally, I like to make a comment and then I'll be quiet. You know, Bayard Rustin, we know now, was an FBI informant, and he was a CIA informant. And, of course, that was during the Cold War. So the CIA wouldn't hire an informant that they knew was communist or Marxist. But they did use Bayard Rustin to go in countries like the Dominican Republic that the CIA felt was coming under a socialist influence as an agent. So the argument that Bayard Rustin was a Marxist is false, is not based on any type of information, and it's just an example of the speeches that people read from conservative talking points. I'll be quiet, Sally.
What was Hunter Pitts Odell? What was Sanford Levinson? They were all in Martin Luther King's inner orbit and his closest advisors. In fact, Martin Luther King fired Sanford Levinson when he came out that he was a card-carrying party communist. He rehired him later and put him in charge of the New York office, but when he came out, the criticism of it was so bad, he was required to fire him. They weren't the only communists in that orbit. They were either communists or they were socialists. So even if you want to take Bayard Rustin out of the picture, and I do not, for the sake of argument, I'm going to remove Bayard Rustin, and I'm going to leave in all those others.
As always, Sally, Brother Warren always kicks ass and makes his opponents call
for
truth.
You tell yourself lies, sir, just like you lie about me. That's what you do. You tell lies about yourself, your imagined victories, and the imagined sins of your opponents. That's what you do.
Okay.
The pain of defeat, Sally.
Listen to the show. I'm going to put a link to it, your show, Sally, in the chat room. I'll let people listen to it themselves and let them make up their mind. Because he lied about everything I said. He just flat out lied. I'm happy to let people listen to what I said.
Let the record show this individual said he didn't believe there should be a holiday after Martin Luther King.
See, here we
That's
go again.
Yeah.
That's in the show. All of it is in the show. I stand by everything I said. See, I'm not going to admit things that I did. I'm not going to say I didn't say
okay,
things that I did.
I, I have another caller.
Finally, you tell the truth. At last, he told the truth about something because I did say that.
Okay. Okay. Well, that being said, I have another caller who wants to join in here.
Insecurity, Sally.
Okay, hold on. 6395. Can I get your first name, please?
Yes, Tave. And Sarge is 100% right. I listen to everything. And you can go with your communist, Marxist, Democrat, socialist. Pick whichever name you want to call it because they all belong to the synagogue of Satan because they're all corrupt and evil bastards, every one of them. Pick a name.
Okay, come on. Calm down.
Hide behind, hide whatever you want to hide behind. But the fact of the matter is,
remember, don't feed the bear. Don't feed the bear. That's what they tell you when you go to Yellowstone Park. Don't feed the bear.
Yeah, believe you. Yeah, right. You're going to tell the truth, sure.
Don't feed the bears. Well, stay out of China. They don't do that over there.
You
okay,
one
thing I'm not going to let happen here is everybody talking over each other because it's just a waste of time. Nobody can hear anything. So
that's
anyway, yep, and I do have another caller. So, but go ahead, Tare, you go, Tare, whatever it is. Go ahead and continue. You can say a few more things, and I have another caller who's ready to jump in.
We were talking earlier last night, too, about a few things about people saying some stuff about other different people and then going out and projecting more lies, more garbage, and this individual is probably, I don't even know how to say, I'm so upset about it because sometimes I hear things and I can't say anything to do anything about it. It's just the fact of the matter, when we have a day or things that are going on in this country like they are, we have to have someone that climbs around in the back of a room trolling and doesn't do anything but spit false allegations, make claims up and claims to have facts and things about books he reads from whoever wrote them doesn't make it factual. Just like people who win wars write history. That doesn't make it right. You know?
I hope you listen to that, Sarge. I hope you listen to what this young man is saying.
You,
say the truth.
Wake up,
don't be talking over each other. Cause again, I'll just hit the mute button because I can't. People need to hear. If no one's message gets through, if everybody keeps talking over each other. But I mean, when it comes down to Brother Warren, you said you're not against Marxism. I mean, some part of the time, I know part of the time
you
do.
I'm not against Marxism. No, I'm not against Marxism.
That's what a big part of the challenge is here. Because if you believe in freedom, believe in personal rights and things like that, you can't be a Marxist, you can't support Marxism, you can't support communism, you can't support socialism. Socialism is a pretty word for communism. It's all the same thing as G. Edward Griffin
has said many times.
Brother Warren, you can say something quick here, but I have another caller that I want to get on here as well.
For most of America's existence, there's been large elements of the population lived under conditions that you all say have a Marxist when there was no Marxist or communism, okay?
What's happening right now, the Patriot Act, we have lost so many of our most basic fundamental rights, the freedom of speech, what they did with the Jan 6 people. The list goes on and on of what has happened over the years. And, of course, a bunch of it was from dumbing down people through public education. And I'm sorry, back it was somewhere in the 20s where I think that's when they first started letting the communist be in public office, or the communist or atheist, to also be a part of the Supreme Court. All the things that that gave us our core values were being destroyed under the guise of, well, wait a minute, you're a free society. So in other words, so if I'm a free society and we're going to have people who are going to represent this free society, I should allow them to be communist, atheist, who don't believe in the Constitution because we're a free society. Well, wait a minute. You can't take an oath to uphold the Constitution if you don't believe in it. You can't be an atheist and a Christian at the same time. So we have allowed our own fundamental beliefs culture to be totally washed out by those who use the same thing that makes you strong will also make you weak. That's exactly what happened here. We have allowed our willingness to accept others Well, we have one of the world's largest melting pots, probably the world's largest melting pot of diversity of people, with different people from all over the world, you know, types and cultures and whatever else, and yet we're the ones that are being accused of racism and all this kind of silliness. It's all a game. The game of the evilness of those who want to control. That World Economic Forum, you take everybody in that World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, or any of these others, they're all despicable. They're all evil. And they want to take us down and they'll do whatever, unrestricted war. And see, we haven't even mentioned the CCP so far and how we opened the door, and it was George H.W. Bush who opened the door. Hey, China, come on in, and whoever else, come in and buy everything up. It's the evilness of it all. It truly is, and ultimately, people, the globalists who want control over everything, you can call it whatever you want to. Is it slavery? If you're okay with slavery, then Marxism and communism are good. You can say it very quickly, but then I have to go to this other call.
Yeah. One of the things that Brandy's boy, who I don't agree with, says in the room is that the CIA trained the Taliban. So here we have the Taliban and Bayard Rustin, who are supposed to be some examples of the bad guys, but yet the American intelligence operation uses them to advance its empire. So the 9/11, in terms of the invasion of Afghanistan, doesn't add up when most of the nationals on those airplanes were Saudi nationals, and there was a relationship between, let's say, Prince Bandar and those bin Laden families and all that. So this narrative of the Taliban, which was aided by the West in the United States, didn't want to turn over Osama bin Laden as some narrative, is once again how people are easily fooled and don't know all the information out there, and yet they go out articulating positions as if they're well-read and informed. People need to go back to school. Thank you, Sally.
Yeah. Well, let me know when you're ready for that debate. Let me know when you're ready for that debate when he joined the Young Communist League in 1936. And he left in 1941 after the Communist Party USA changed their anti-war policy after Nazi Germany invaded the USSR. You can tell me about that then, about your Mr. Bayard Rustin, because I know about it. So when you're ready for that debate, let me know if you got the guts to face me.
I'll kick your ass.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to hit the mute button, so hold on. Cindy, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, Cindy, what are you thinking about everything? 9/11, what the stuff we talked about earlier on the boat?
My comments. Nothing tonight is going to do any good, because the bottom line is that, yes, they have control, the left and the right. We have globalism coming in the door. We've been talking about that since Henry Lamb ran around all over the country. He's dead now, talking about globalism and UN Agenda 21 and all of it. He's dead. Then we have Dr. Kaufman, who ran around the room. And let me tell you, people, and everybody on this call, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, purple, I don't care. We're all going to be affected by it. This has nothing to do with race. This has to do with they're taking our rights away. They're going to tell us what we have to eat, where we have to live. You're not going to own anything anymore. That's why all these apartments are being built. They are implementing it right now in every neighborhood. Every neighborhood. So when I hear all this stuff going on tonight, and I want to make a comment also about the common law and all that stuff, and, you know, you can listen. After 2020, the big election, whatever, we had all these groups, and they were going to take it over, and they had the assembly, and they were going to go to the courthouse, and I just sat back and watched. And guess what happened? Nothing. Because when it came down to it, they had to go in front of a judge, or they had to go and confront an elected official or an official that's working at the courthouse, they didn't want to do it. So they disbanded. So, I mean, it's all true. It may be true. It may not be true. I don't know. I haven't looked it all up. I just know that that's another rabbit hole we're going down while we're losing our country. Everybody's losing the country on this call. Everybody. I don't care about any of it. We're losing our country. There's no place to go. You know, the only country that I would go to now would be, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the African nation. When this little African nation said during the pandemic, hey, we ain't taking the vax. We're not going along with Bill Gates and the global one world health order. We're not doing it. I think that was fantastic. Or I'd move to Hungary, maybe, because of Viktor Orban. I mean, we are headed towards a crash today on Steve Bannon at 6 o'clock. And, Sally, this is amazing. I hope that I don't know whether Karen heard it or not. Alex Newman was on there. Finally, Steve Bannon has come to the realization that something's wrong. Yes, this is starting at the local level. Agenda 21 is here in my little town. And so I wrote him an email, and I sent it to him and said, Steve, here it is. Here's my email of yesterday. You know, it doesn't matter what color anybody is. We're all going to be living under this environment now. You're not going to have a car. You're going to walk to work. And you'll have your little apartment. And it's all going to happen. And because we're sitting around arguing about stupid shit, and I like history. I grew up in New Jersey. My father was a historian. I get it. I understand it. I would love to sit there and have a nice conversation with somebody about history and learn. I'm reading right now a book about what's the name of this book? It's called Revolutionary Summer, The Birth of American Independence by Joseph Ellis. It's fascinating. Actually, I'm reading it out loud because you know why? When you read out loud, you're able to retain it a lot more. And I think what's happening now is we have so many issues. You know, we've got the voter issue, okay? You know, integrity, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I don't even know where. If we've got corruption in our voting system, which I do believe, then we might as well just kiss the election goodbye, okay? Number one. Now, there are people working on that. In every state, we've got so many problems. And yet people are tearing each other up for no reason, and they still, I mean, if you want to live in this country, we better come together. And the Marxists, by the way, I just want to put this out there because I want everybody to hear it. There was a group called Massachusetts Resistance. They came about because Mitt Romney, who's a globalist, when he was the governor of Massachusetts, he went ahead and said, okay, yeah, we can have gay marriage, Mr. Mormon. And so that opened the door for all of this stuff. Now, my cousin is gay. I don't give a shit what he does in the bedroom. I don't care. But I don't want to see him going after children. Okay? And I think what we have now is really bad. But Massachusetts Resistance was the one that was warning about cultural Marxism. Look at where we are now. You go on Twitter. It is disgusting what's happening now. I'm sorry, there's only two genders. It's called a male and a female. There are no other genders. If you want to be a sheep for the day, then you know what that is? That's pretend. Remember when you were a child and you pretended to be a boy and you were playing with a truck? Now, oh, no, little Johnny has a truck and he's playing with it. Or Susie is, and so he really wants to be a boy. This is cultural Marxism. This is how you take a country down. And Massachusetts Resistance was talking about this, and nobody wanted to listen because they thought it wasn't going to happen. And I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to say this. But Barack Obama brought it in. And everybody needs to wake up to that, too, because who put the rainbow in front of the White House? He did.
Yes, sure enough.
He wants that. He wanted that. And you know what? Good for Tucker Carlson because he talked to that guy. We all knew what was going on with Barack Obama. Who was he? Where did he come from? Nobody vetted him.
Well,
Look at how they vet all these other candidates. They look into their background. Why was he not vetted? And I'm going to give you a little story. I'm sitting in my office one day, and I see this headline about a senator, a state senator in Hawaii, in Honolulu. His name is Jones. I can't remember his first name. And he was asked whether or not he thought – that the birth certificate could be a fraud. And he says, well, I don't know if it could be a fraud, but I can tell you that for years I've been fighting the health department in Honolulu because it is corrupt. So I figured, well, you know what? I'm going to call him up. So I called him up, got his number. I asked him what he meant by that. He says, you were the third caller. He says, well, I think it could possibly be a fraudulent because of what we've seen in the health department. It is very bad. And he says, but I can tell you one more thing. I lived in the building with Barack Obama on the same floor. And he began to tell me, Barack Obama smoking weed, doing coke, hanging out with these, people, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, did anybody go to Hawaii and, vet the candidate? Look and see where he grew up, or did anybody do? Not one reporter. Not one. Not Barack Obama's brother right now, the one from Kenya, or I think he's from Kenya, I'm not sure.
Barack's from Kenya, too.
Okay, so he's going to be down. He's just written a book. He's a very intelligent man. I've listened to him. I mean, he says that here's the birth certificate. I don't know, but I can tell you right now, they all lie. Doesn't matter. Right lies, the left lies, and we're country, we do not fix this, we're all going to be poor, and we're not going to have any freedom because they don't want us to have any freedom. So this is one election where people better get things straight. You really want Biden to get elected? Honestly, he has been corrupt the whole. You know what I'm going to tell you right now, why I'm mad? Is where were all these people when he was in office? Why do I have to hear from a senator's aide tell me, well, Biden was always an asshole? Why didn't you say anything? Did you know he was corrupt? Yeah. Well, why didn't you do anything?
Let me say this, Sally.
Everybody can't be talking at once, and I have another caller in there. So let me go ahead and get this other caller.
Can I be quick, Sally?
Very quick. We're talking about.
Okay, I
want to
say, first of all, I'm woke, Sally. I'm woke and I'm proud. But we cannot, and I had my issues with Obama because he wasn't socialist enough. But we can't accuse Barack Obama of bringing homosexuality into the highest office because the number one man who hated communism, J. Edgar Hoover, was a cross dresser his own self.
Yeah.
And he had tabs
on
everybody.
Yep. He wasn't alive.
Okay.
Let's talk about right now. What did
okay.
Barack
so,
Obama
so
do?
Stop trying to bring the black guy to everything.
Okay, hold on. We can't.
I don't care. If Hoover was gay, I don't really give a rat's ass. I want to know, look at what you have now. Men dressed up as women.
They've been doing that. They've been having men dressed up as women. Where have you been? They've been having men do that. I live here in New Orleans. They've been doing that.
Okay,
I know that. I got
another person. Go ahead and finish that sentence, Cindy, and then I got to get this other caller on.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
That's what size dress he wears.
Don't talk over her. Let Cindy talk.
The same size your daddy wears.
Okay, Cindy, Brother Warren, you got to please be quiet. I got to let Cindy
Warren,
finish.
I have to tell you, I've listened
good luck
to your
with that.
Show. Now let me just say, I like New Orleans. Okay, I think it's remarkable that we have a city like that in America. It has so much rich history. It's really fantastic. We have no values anymore. We are telling people that, you know what, you can cut off your body part and become a girl. This is sick. This is twisted. And it doesn't matter
totally
if you're
sick.
Left or you're
and
right.
And you just can't you can't justify it. There's absolutely the evilness of it all and what it means.
Big Pharma is a part of the problem because they make hundreds of thousands of dollars on these people. And it is a disgrace.
Billions.
A disgrace.
Yep.
All right, and now we have the politicians telling us, who doesn't have any rights? Who doesn't have any rights? Come on. I mean, I don't give a shit what you are or what you're going to do, but don't do it in front of children, and don't bring it into the schools, and don't tell me that a man can be a woman. I'm sorry, I can't. You cannot have a baby. There was a billboard put up in New York, and I want everybody to hear this because it was there. They put a billboard up with a man who was pretending to be a woman pregnant. Really?
You know, you look at the
okay,
situation.
Well, let me go ahead. Hold on. I have another caller. Like I said, I have another caller. And first off, it's well known for those who seek the truth, and it was advertised and whatever else, that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. It only shows how sad it is that the American people can be brainwashed into believing anything, which is just more evidence of it. Anyway, Tom, I think I have Tom out there. Tom, you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I'm getting a headache listening to everybody. Cindy was on the money in the beginning when she said, but then Cindy drifted off and started talking about transgendering and Obama and stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, inhale some oxygen in the room next to you. What the hell does any of that have to do with what's going on right now? For every single one of you, I'm talking.
Okay, hold on.
Can you listen? Let me educate. Yeah, okay, well, whoever that was, inhale some oxygen and listen for a minute, because I got one question for all of you, because I've been to hundreds of debates and public hearings over the years, and I'd walk out when everybody started doing what you're doing, talking, debating, and not solving a damn thing. So here's the question. How many of you hit the streets and fight for your country? You know the shit's coming down. You can smell the vermin and the poison of the evil people we put in office. How many of you are actually going to hit the streets and fight for your country like we did in the beginning? Or how many of you are just going to go in some room and debate some other idiot and solve nothing except easy? That's my question.
Well, we
what
can
I'm
be very sure
night.
About this. There's
That's
very
what I'm
few
doing
of us on here
night.
That won't do that. But
okay, hold on. Let's go. Let me
fight.
Give everybody a chance. Hold on. Let's go around.
I don't
the
know
here.
Anybody who debated more than the Founding Fathers. I don't know any group of people in history who debated more than the Founding Fathers before the Revolution.
God damn it. Can't you keep on the topic? I asked the question.
I asked that on the
You're
topic.
Gonna
I'm
Are you going to hit the streets?
You just said.
The country?
Guys,
how great
we
you are.
Okay. Okay, calm down. Otherwise,
I will.
Shelly, you
okay,
know,
we're
going to
go around the table.
Hard.
Tom, ask your question again. Tom, ask your question.
I'm going to ask
and
I'll answer for
shut me up because that way I can't show
shut up
what
and
a
listen.
Liar you are.
Education, I've been hearing you dribble since I've been on this phone. You need to inhale some oxygen. Get some.
No, I don't. I'm very aerobic, and I know what time it is.
No, you shut up and listen. I'm going to hit the streets and fight if I have to. That's a guarantee. What are you going to do?
I'm already doing it. Why don't you ask me what I'm doing?
I just asked you. You're going to fight for your country.
I'm not doing anything.
Not sit here and try to criticize
me.
Okay,
why don't you ask me what I'm doing instead of assuming I'm not doing anything?
Bye.
Okay.
You're an friggin'
okay,
idiot.
Sorry.
You're a coward
well,
because
you know,
can't
you
answer
you make
directly.
Too many assumptions. Make an assumption.
No,
no,
no. Come on, guys. Stop. This is insane. This isn't getting us anywhere. It's turning into a comedy act here.
Nobody.
Okay, let's go.
I asked a direct question.
Sorry.
For your country, and that
sorry,
means
sorry, hold on.
I mean, sit there and debate. Are you
made an assumption about what
you're
I am or not doing?
You're to yourself.
I didn't make
okay.
an assumption
we're
about you.
We're not going anywhere here. People, we get, we've
yeah,
got
Sally,
to calm down here.
Sally,
okay,
I apologize.
Now,
I apologize,
that's
Sally.
That's okay,
but
we're
going to
go around the table peacefully
yeah.
around here. We're going to go. Tom asked a question. What is everybody really doing? And Sarge, you started. Go ahead, and Sarge, answer what you're doing now calmly, and let's just have a discussion. Tell Tom what you're doing today.
All right. Right now, I'm involved with the issue
for your country.
I have been involved with the election integrity campaigns. Street level things. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? You don't think election integrity is important? Are you serious? No, you're not serious if you don't think it is. I'm involved with election integrity efforts right now to ensure election integrity at the ballot box and at the mail-in drop box, all of these things that enable a stolen election in 2020. I'm also involved with a convention of states that are looking to acquire or promulgate a conventionist to rewrite certain aspects of the Constitution to rein in this unconstitutional federal government, and also reorganizing state militias to be meaningful military organizations as the Constitution intended.
Okay.
What are you doing?
That's what Sarge is doing. Well, that's what Sarge is doing.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm telling you, he just assumes I'm not doing anything. He doesn't know. He didn't ask me.
Can I say something now, what I'm doing?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cindy, you go ahead and respond.
Actually, tomorrow night I will be at my county commission meeting. Our overlords who are making much money, new tax revenue because of the billionaire and trillionaire elites who are moving to Martin County, unfortunately, are changing our county, and we're going to go against their raising of taxes and point out that the government is not – why does the government own a golf course and two bars on the beach and a Marty that drives around with nobody but one guy on a bicycle and the wasteful tax dollars? That's what we'll be doing tomorrow night. We're fighting Agenda 21 in the city of Stewart. They're trying to impose all of that garbage, like let's close the street down and everybody can ride a bicycle. And, you know, that garbage. I mean, I can go on and on and on. So, yeah, I am fighting from the federal on down. And I will continue fight to my last breath. And it's sad. It's very sad. I kept a journal from 2009. And I can tell you, I started getting really involved probably around the time that the jerk, let me think which jerk it was, when George W. Bush was running. And I had somebody in the parking lot, a man named Jim Stack, say to me, Cindy, you're voting for the wrong guy. He's a globalist. And I kind of knew, but I didn't really know now. And that was the beginning of my journey. I'm going to fight till the very end. And I have a lot at stake. I'm sitting here alone in a house that I can't pay a mortgage. I'm trying really hard to find ways out of this. I can't move because the situation that everybody's in this stupid, ridiculous economy, it's terrible. It's affecting everybody. I don't care who you are. And you're right. People need to fight, but they're lazy. They're sitting home, and they got their little clicker, and they're watching Fox and Fraud, which is useless, or CNN, which is useless, or those talk shows, which are useless. Get up off your ass and go to a meeting. Go to your county commission meeting. Go to your – find something on the local level. If you can't do that, then go to the state. But find something. And the person that said who's building the militia, gosh, that book I'm reading right now talks about the militia. It's really wonderful. Yes, I do that. I believe in that. I believe in all of it. We have no regard for what our founding fathers or what everybody did during the revolution. It's a disgrace. A disgrace. And as far as I'm concerned, we are all in this together. These people who have power, right and left, they're doing it. They did a good job, a really good job of dividing people, you know, of division. And we don't want that to happen. You know what made me cry? And I think it was, and I don't remember, it might have been Minneapolis or whatever. It was after the election, and one of the cities was burning, and they burned this I think it was like a CVS and a grocery store. And a woman came out of her house with her little grandson, and was crying in the middle of the street because she didn't have any money. That was the only place that she could shop that she could walk to. And they burnt it down. For what reason? This is the kind of bullshit. And you know what? We have no law and order anymore. Look at the people laying on the streets. People are walking over people who are half dead on fentanyl. This is not a race issue. This is a drug issue. It is a poverty issue. It is a mental health issue. Where are our mental institutions? We took them all down when stupid Geraldo Rivera in New York City decided to go to Willowbrook, which was a disgrace, by the way, and they shut it down. And then they went to New Jersey, and they shut down Marlboro. And you know where all those people went? To this little Methodist town. They were walking the streets totally, totally, like, out of it, walking the streets of Ocean Grove. Okay, living in alleyways on this ocean town because they had nowhere to go. And that's where we are today. And you and me and everybody on this call should care about those people that are living on the streets. Nancy Pelosi is a disgrace. Anybody who, I don't care if they're right or left, anybody who is in charge in charge, a politician, whether it's a mayor or a House representative, whatever it is, you've got showing that. Did you see Portland? It's a disgrace. I get on a conference call on Sunday nights, and the girl from Washington State, it's just, it's, you can't even believe it. And it's sad. And, you know, when I go by and I see somebody with a sign, and they're down by McDonald's or something, or I'm in a parking lot, I stop my car and I talk to them. And I find out, and they probably lie, are you doing drugs? They probably lie, you're doing whatever, whatever. But they're hungry. So I ride in and I get them a meal, and I give them $5 and I give them a prayer card, because that's all I can do right now. But we are our brother's keepers, and this is what's happening to America. I don't care what color you are. It is a disgrace.
Well, this comes back to the most basic fundamentals, and I see looks like Nathan's going to chime in here too. This is where, you know, time and time again, I talk about what the Founding Fathers warned us about, and, of course, Washington's farewell address. He warned us this, with the political parties and the way they will divide us, the associations and the factions, they will do whatever they can to divide us. That's the only way they can conquer us. They can't do, if we're united we stand, divided we fall. And this is truly where we are. We've allowed them, and they did this by bringing in evildoers. And again, it has nothing to do with party. The political parties, they're both corrupt. What is it within the human soul of some people, the evilness of some people, the George Soros is out there, the Bill Gates out there, you know, what is it with these people that they think they are playing the role of God? They seem to think they're God. I don't think Bill Gates is God, and I don't think Soros is God. I don't think Vivek, I think is the way it's proper spelling. He says all the right things, but I don't trust the word. The guy, he's too much like Obama. These people will say whatever they want to get people to believe them, and what you will drink their Kool-Aid. Why they want to destroy you? Excuse me, I can't tell you that. I don't know that answer. I have no desire to go out there and destroy anybody else's life. Live and let live. That's supposed to be what Americans are all about. Do your own thing. And you know what? As an adult, if you want to chop off your body parts, whatever. But don't try and change the birth certificate. Don't do all this other stuff. All that stuff. However, and unfortunately, it looks like Tom has dropped. Tom could have talked more to that. The drug that. Literally what they're giving people drugs, herbicides and whatever else that are affecting, how do you want to put it, men. Just say it's affecting men, feminizing the men internally. There's so many evil things going on to try to destroy people. Why they would want to? Why the World Economic Forum? Why do they say you should own nothing and be happy? What is it with these people? Why they would want to do that? Why would you not want to bring everybody up with you? The hand up, not the hand out routine. It's very, very sick. I don't know why some people have this egotistical, whatever it is, power thing that they just think they are the gods and the rest of us are here to serve them. And it just is totally anti-American in its philosophy. But these are the elements we're doing. And it was back of the communists who started coming in the 20th and the 20s, somewhere around that 10 is when we opened the door. Sure, communists, come on in. Sure, yeah, communists, yeah, you belong on the Supreme Court. You don't believe in anything that America stands for? Sure, you can be a Supreme Court justice. Sure, you can be in Congress. The insanity of it all. Give a little weapon to the enemy. Now, I do have Nathan out here, and for just a quick update, we got about 10 minutes left before it's going to go off the Internet. So if you want to listen,
I want to give my closing remarks and let Nathan speak. I'd like to give my closing remarks.
Okay.
All right, let me get up on the podium and fix my tie. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up Show, one of the most hottest and informative and sincere shows here on Block Talk Radio. We talk about issues as it relates to the black experience, local, nationally, and internationally, from a black radical standpoint. It is the black radical tradition that has allowed me to enjoy liberties that my parents and grandparents and before could not enjoy under a conservative perspective. I have many fans, people who disagree with me. There are some people who disagree with me, but they're captivated by my intellect and my command and history and knowledge. And some of them are here in the chat room, like Lori, the libertarian. She's just obsessed and fascinated by my work, even though she kind of can't stand me sometimes. But I appreciate all my fans who listen and who follow me. And
you know,
this is the way we're going to make civilization better by listening to each other. I'll be bored if I stayed in the room just to talk to other black radicals. I like to listen to other perspectives, and I like to learn, but I also like to critique and to kind of intervene and say, hey, that's not historically accurate when I can. So I want to thank Sally for allowing me in, because she was a class act, just like Joe Gibson, for allowing the black radical host to join in. Thank you, Sally.
Thank you, and I totally believe in the I don't believe in censorship. The fact that I don't agree with you on many things, probably most things, that's not a reason why. We learn more by listening, as you said, and we need to understand the other side as well. Unfortunately, you and I have a lot of disagreements. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and let Nathan get in here. He's been waiting for a while. I can only imagine what Nathan's going to be thinking after all this discussion. Hey, Nathan.
Yeah, all I want to do, first I want to say for Brother Warren, I thank all those black radicals who are out there fighting for what is right, for not just them, but everybody. And I want to say also thank you to those white radicals back in another time in history that had a conscience that said this isn't right, and now some of them split with their family and friends to say, I've got to live by my conscience. This is wrong. So I want to thank all the radicals, whatever flavor you come from, thank you for the love of freedom. Now,
I second the motion.
Okay, now, Sarge, I hope you can, in your efforts on elections, get something out there and look at it yourself first. But we're in this Republican-Democrat paradigm, and right now we're hearing in the news. We got to quit getting our news from the news. But we're hearing in the news that Biden and Trump is at a 50-50 neck-and-neck in the polls. In my county here in Orange County, I go on a weekly basis to watch the numbers grow. The Republicans are outnumbered by the independents. Here in Florida, they called no party affiliates. They're outnumbered by 37,332. And the others, which are the lesser known, not real popular people like the Libertarians and Green Party and all these other little parties, they're at 17,356. So I think back when 2010, when the Tea Party citizens rose up, that was a rejection that the Republican Party was over. They didn't get the message because they have control with the two-party system to keep them together, because they really are one party. So if you go across the state, you go across the states, and you will find the numbers are consistent all the way across the state, and you're going to learn that it's somewhere around 60% are these independents of the registered voters. They're still in another election. It was never the people's will for the same people to get reelected, and that's why Obama got everything he wanted, okay, and the Tea Party rose up because the Republicans were losing, and they hijacked it with their buses touring the rallies with the revised message from no more politicians, no more lawyers, to reelect the Republicans and hold their feet to the fire. They proved that they were better politicians than the people. I want to say something that's been on my mind about Nathan.
Come on, Jack.
I think that was background noise.
I want to say something about names. It appears, and I've heard this, it appears that whenever your mom and dad gave you a name, whether it was a rock star's name that they liked, or a grandfather, grandmother, cousins, or whatever, it appears names have a meaning to them, and it appears that that theme is on your life, like almost like something from God. And in the Old Testament, when God changed a person's life, he gave them a new name, okay? And that was like the character and the mission on their life. Martin Luther King Sr. toured Europe and went through Germany at the time that Hitler was doing his thing. And he went back and told his wife, "We need a spokesman, not just for Germany and Europe, but we got the same stuff happening in America." So they changed their son Michael King Jr. to Martin Luther King Jr. after the Protestant reformer, and it appeared that God had honored that and put that theme on his life, and he rose up to be the voice of Reformation. For not just his people, but for all people, especially in America. So I thought that was pretty neat. But it's funny, Barack Obama's name was Barry Satoru. I don't know if he chose to change his name or somebody else changed his name, but they gave him a Jewish, an Arab, and an African name. And anybody that says he was born in Hawaii, go to Sally's chat room and you'll see a link where the Kenyan ambassador the morning after the election on a show in New York City was talking about how proud their country is, and they're going to put a monument in front of the hospital he was born in. And I can send you more stuff with Barack Obama and
I remember
Michael
that.
Obama.
I remember that.
Obama. Michael Obama and Barry Obama both admitted he was born there. She took him back. He took him back and let him tour the hospital where he was born. So, you know, let's stop with the propaganda. Let's try to get back to what news used to be, whether we like the news or not.
Amen.
Sarge,
to that
I think what they need to do for Sarge, they need to feed him some gunpowder, give him a Bible, and I bet that would be a big election play.
You might be right, Bob.
Okay. Joe has rejoined. Go ahead real quick, Sarge, and I'm going to get Joe on here because he was going to play an audio for us.
Okay. I'd like to make clear. I understand people's frustration with people who speak a lot, talk a lot. But I'd like to point out to people that particularly just the advent of mass media, particularly starting in the 20th century, but going back time immemorial, doesn't matter what you're talking about. I mean, charismatic leaders who talk a lot in concert with others who also talk a lot are the progenitors of great movements and even infamous movements. Now, on the one hand, you've got among the noblest of them, the American founding fathers, who spoke to transcendently objective, noble ideals that are crystallized in the Declaration of Independence. They were among the noblest and most talkative debaters ever. They talked endlessly in order to inspire people and to inform people what the revolution was about. On the other end of the spectrum, you have other similar inspirational leaders for darker causes, like Vladimir Ilyich Lenin or Adolf Hitler, but nonetheless, they talked and talked and talked and talked, and they were able to marshal support for their cause. It is critical to examine issues and to debate them, if for no other reason than to strengthen your own belief system and your own political organization. So that is all part of it. The action is part of it. The speech is part of it. The debate is another part of it. It should all go hand in hand. And right now, that speech and that debate has led to people beginning to take action, whether you're talking about people taking a part in the school boards, people taking part in local elections, people ensuring election integrity, people talking about the election stake, people talking about getting behind candidates. All of it is vital and critical. It's all of a piece. All of it is comprehensive in order to obtain the goals that you want to get. And for me, those goals are liberty and return to the notions and the ideals and the aspirational ideals in particular expressed in the Declaration and the Constitution, Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. That's what I want to get back to. I'm a Declaration of Independence constitutional conservative. Before I'm a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, anything. And I hope more people become that way.
That's exactly it. That's the political parties mean nothing. They're a fraud amongst themselves and whatever. So I myself take no allegiance to any political party, and I never would. And I am a constitutionalist. I believe we should go back to one thing, conservative too. I don't really care about that. I'm a constitutionalist. I want to go back to the Constitution. I want to fix the things that might be broke that need to be changed. That's why we have amendments. But we got to get back to that. And the intent to destroy this country, everything they've done, it's there's nothing new, there's nothing, it's all a plan, and it's just something, like I said, explain to me the evilness of why some people would want to do this. With that being said, I want to get Joe on here, because I know that Joe was going to play an audio for us. He said it was about 5 or 6 minutes. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, thank you. Sorry, I already heard this, but it would be probably good to play again, and it's good for everyone else to hear it, so... So it's about 6 minutes and 22 seconds long, so I'm going to play it right now the best I can. And, Sally, thank you. So I'll play it right now, and as soon as it's off, I'll come back on. All right? Here we go.
Okay.
Our state, the North Carolina American Republic, thanks you for your interest in state citizenship. We're excited to see growing numbers participating in the movement to reestablish and repopulate lawful states. It is important that you first educate yourself as to why and how our original state of North Carolina was reestablished, and it's vital that you understand both who we are and who we are not. In this video, we'll cover the historical and legal background, the consequences of unlawful states, and how you can become a state citizen and be part of the movement to reestablish lawful states. The reestablishing of our original state of North Carolina in 1997 was based upon the position that our state, meaning our constitution and form of government, as well as our people or body politic, was purportedly and unconstitutionally annulled and put into abeyance shortly after the Civil War by a series of legislative acts called the Reconstruction Acts. The Reconstruction Acts eliminated state citizenship and inverted American government, creating a new national indefinite supremacy over all persons and things. Today we see fully nationalized states, all comprised of a nationalized, homogenous citizenry, whose protections and benefits, however defined, are determined at the national level and not strictly at the state level as they once were. The end game of Reconstruction was to compel the nationalization of citizenship through the 14th Amendment. As opposed to a readmission of the original states back into the Union, as many are taught, Reconstruction disenfranchised original state citizens and created new states for a nationalized citizenry. A new state of North Carolina entered the Union during this time, even though our original state was still in lawful operation. Today, we're overwhelmed by branch consequences that stem from this root of nationalized citizenship and federally created states. Firstly, is the case of state sovereignty. States prior to the 1860s decided for their own political bodies where they stood on divisive and moral issues, and most at this time did stand on a religious foundation. Today, nationalized citizenship eliminates the liberty of states to choose their own destiny. For example, Roe v. Wade universally legalized abortion across the United States in 1973 based upon the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. Stone v. Graham held that the display of the Ten Commandments was unconstitutional thanks to the 14th Amendment. And Abington School District v. Shemp held that school prayer was unconstitutional based upon the 14th Amendment. Another branch is the massive growth in the scale of the federal government. The CIA, FBI, IRS, the Department of Education, the Federal Reserve, Homeland Security, Patriot Act 1, Patriot Act 2, the Military Commissions Act, the NDAA, the EPA, and the NSA are just a few examples of the increase in the scope of the federal government since the 1860s. With the Civil War and Reconstruction combined, we find at least 15 distinct violations of the Constitution, which resulted in the purported annulment of 10 states of the American Union, including North Carolina, as well as the nationalization of every state, North and South. In 1997, a contingent of individuals living in North Carolina, recognizing that violations of the Constitution create no law, together reestablished or reclaimed the original state of North Carolina, her Constitution, and her system of government. The reestablished state was called the North Carolina American Republic to keep it distinct from the de facto state of North Carolina. The North Carolina American Republic, or NCAR, is composed of state citizens who are loyal to the maintenance and defense of our original lawful state. Our state convenes on a regular basis. It has a body politic, a government body, and a treasury. Citizens of our reestablished du jour state have taken the matter to court in various cases, demanding that the de facto state of North Carolina prove its lawfulness. We highly encourage you to continue your study of the historical, political, and legal background of our reestablished state. This is the legal foundation upon which you will defend your citizenship status. To test your knowledge, we require all interested individuals to fill out and submit the in-depth questionnaire on our website as a prerequisite for obtaining a citizenship packet. By studying the reference materials and resources here on ncrepublic.org, as well as americasremedy.com, future citizens of our de jure state will be well educated on matters regarding the foundation of our state's reestablishment and will better understand who we are and who we are not.
Okay, there you go. There you have it right there. That's pretty much in a nutshell. So, but that has to do with, and that's on all 50 states, by the way, so it's not just North Carolina. So that's a bridge work, but everybody got the website there. I mean, that, and it gives you all the legal documents, case precedent, that where, and they did challenge it in court, and it went, took it to the appeals court of North Carolina, and they wouldn't entertain it. They acknowledged it, but they wouldn't entertain it because they could not answer the question lawfully. So, so there you have it. So, but if people wake up in masses, like we were talking earlier, Sally, if we wake up in masses and stop talking about the silly issues, the games, the little politics, Republican, Democrat, the corporate de facto, if we start waking up in masses and everybody across the country, you know, gets involved in this one issue, whether or not you're really a lawful citizen or not, then we can re-inhabit our de jure government, our lawful government, and we can get out of this you know, like we talked about earlier, this Roman civil law that we're under right now. You know, we can restore our constitutional republic. The crime against the people by the international bankers during the Civil War, the corporate instrument of the international bankers has basically destroyed us as a people. We've become ignorant. And you know, I mean, I just don't know how else to say it. As a slave, you're entitled to nothing than what the corporation decides to give you at a price. So be wary of accepting all so-called benefits. You know, it's time to confront the truth and awaken from ignorance. Simple as that.
Yeah. Joe.
And that's the truth. And I'll mention something real quick here, and kind of going back to what some of what Karen was saying in the beginning. People are beginning to feel the pain. It's very sad that for the past how long we've been talking about Agenda 21 and the what they're doing to this country. This didn't just start happening yesterday. This has been going on. It's been a massive plan. But when you start saying, wait a minute, you can't have a gas stove. Oh, wait a minute, you can't have a combustion engine car. You can't have a car at all. You're not going to be allowed to own a home. And then you can't have air conditioning. I mean, little by little, people are starting to feel the pain. They're little by little, especially on some of the younger people who don't have any clue about history because they were educated through public education. But, you know, just take that cell phone away from for them from one day and see what happens. You want to talk about it, let them know that they're
I'm sorry. It's extremely important. You know, I refer you to the corporate empire of the United States, which operates under Roman civil law outside of the Constitution. You know, I mean, how do you like being ruled by a cheesy, sleazy corporation? You know,
but Joe, remember we had this discussion, Joe, and we agreed that the ratification of the 14th Amendment was problematic and probably unconstitutional. We didn't have any argument about that. We didn't have any argument about the fact that the 14th Amendment, by incorporating the 5th Amendment and the 14th Amendment, they came up with a suspect judicial jurisdictional jurisprudence technique called We agreed about it, but here's the problem.
Let me finish.
What we didn't agree upon, what I hope we can come to agreement on, is that despite these things that are wrong with the 14th Amendment, the problem for us to correct it is the overwhelming majority of American people accept that it's a properly ratified part of the Constitution, and the only way to undo it constitutionally is to convince them that it either ought to be repealed or it ought to be amended. And that's what our problem is.
Well, yes, Todd, because this way we operate, like I just said, under Roman civil law works and what? And our form of government is what? Governance today is based upon what? Roman civil law and Aventine maritime law, which is better known as divine right of kings, law of the seas. I mean, you know, so we have to get back to common law. We have to go back because we're not, because right now, you know, we're operating under a private international law, not common law, you know, and we have to understand that.
And we have to convince our fellow citizens why we need to either repeal or amend the 14th Amendment, because most of them accept it as being a legitimate part of the Constitution, and therein lies the problem.
Yeah, yeah, I'll agree with that, yes.
Yep. Well, then we also have the fact about the missing 13th Amendment, which was the one that would not allow attorneys to be representatives. And I can tell you why that was out there. They knew back then you don't want a bunch of attorneys in there.
Yep, you're right, Sally. Sally, that was an important part, Sally. That was not in this video. You're absolutely correct, but it's in other videos attached to this. But you're right. The 13th Amendment, you forgot all about that. It was hidden.
What about,
and if you go back, you know.
What about the politicians in office right now, currently, that have dual citizenship with Israel or with America? Now, how can you your loyalty to America while you've got a citizenship under Israel? That's bullshit.
They know
that
what's going on.
Well,
they know what's going on.
I'm not getting into that part of it
Hold on.
Ted Cruz has dual citizenship with Canada, and I don't like that. Canada is actually a communist country, even though most people don't know that.
He rescinded, remember, when he was running for president, and people were saying he wasn't a natural-born citizen. He said he went to the Canadian embassy and formally rescinded Canadian citizenship. So he admitted he was born a citizen of another country. He admitted.
Yeah.
And that's they can't do that.
You know what, Sally? It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a constitutional historian to figure out that this is not what is happening in our country today. That we're not operating underneath. We're not a government that's subject to. I mean, we're not sovereign citizens anymore. You know, the Supreme.
No.
You know, I mean, Congress committed treason against the people who were considered sovereign under the Declaration of Independence and the Organic Constitution. When we consider the word sovereign, you got to think what the word means. According to Webster's Dictionary, sovereign is what? It's defined as what? Chief or highest supreme, right? Number two, supreme in power, superior in position to all others, independent of and unlimited by any other, possessing or entitled to the original independent authority or jurisdiction. So in other words, our government was created by and for sovereigns, the free citizens who were deemed the highest authority. We don't see that today. Only the people can be sovereign. Remember that. Government cannot be sovereign. We can also look at the Declaration of Independence, where we read, government is subject to the consent of the governed. That's supposed to be us, the sovereigns. Do you feel like a sovereign nowadays? Do you? No.
Definitely no consent of the government, that's for sure. Because of this corporate, the Act of 1871, the corporate U.S. and all this stuff, because right now, if we were truly sovereign, if we were truly operating under the Declaration, remember, the Constitution is to support the Declaration. People forget that all the time. Excuse me, but if we were truly operating under the Declaration and the Constitution as was intended, we would not, these people that are in Congress today in the White House, treason. This invasion they're promoting. The insurrection, the true insurrection is right here at that southern border and being instigated by those in public office who should all be charged with treason and hung.
How about this? Check this out.
Sally, am I muted?
The, constitu- the Constitution for the United States of America. The altered version reads the Constitution of the United States of America.
Correct.
Okay? Big difference.
Right.
Big difference. For and of.
But Joe, again, I like, when it comes to these kind of things, yes, I want to talk about the abstract principles involved because that is vital to understand. Then I like to get down to practical reality, too. As a matter of practical reality, imagine, we get to the point we got people considering amending and repealing the 14th Amendment, and I want you to envision, the enormous emotional upheaval that devoid of any facts or history that is going to ensue when we talk about revisiting the 14th Amendment, which forced the newly freed slaves to be adopted as citizens in states where the states did not want to accept them as citizens. I want to imagine the hue and cry that's going to ensue when we try to do it. It's going to be beyond anything. We have every Roe versus Wade will look like a tempest in a teacup compared to that. Believe it.
Sally.
Yes.
Go ahead,
Nathan. No, I can hear you, Nathan.
Okay, I didn't know. Listen, on this 14th Amendment, here's what we need to do when we start talking about amending it. We need to slow down real, 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 real slow and take our time reading it, because I heard Dave Zanotti say something that was in the 14th Amendment the other day, and he was saying how it got overthrown by a law, and I didn't really completely understand everything that he was saying. It was related to holding offices, the office of any office, but it was like your officers in the military that might have committed a crime, something. I didn't really know what he was talking about, but it's like he's like that part of the Constitution has been already amended. No, it was amended with a law. We need to read real slow what it says. And I was telling somebody this, it was a while back, you know, the 14th Amendment allows the citizens to vote for the electors. And he was like, no. And I said, I'll bet you my life. I will bet you my life. Are you willing to put your life? The loser has to jump in front of a truck down on I-4.
The 14th Amendment is unconstitutional.
We'll go down there, and if I'm wrong, you know, and he goes, I won't shake on it, but let me see, and we got it out. Well, he got it out on his phone, and he's sitting there looking at it, and he said, I see it. And I told him, this is a test I've given people, and they either go wow or they shut up and go away, and they keep doing what they're doing. But I got a test that if you take a copy of the preamble, the Constitution, Bill of Rights and Amendments, take your finger and touch each word, and when you see the word electoral or college, take a picture of it, post it online, and it'll be settled forever. We have learned stuff, and we know what we've learned, but we need to go back and look. Was what we learned, and I see this, somebody will read something in the Constitution and bounce back and read a law or something in history, and it's in our soul. So when we start amending the Constitution, we need to slow down and make sure when we amend it, we amend it, the Constitution, and not amend it with a law that says the law is higher than the authority. The Constitution is supposed to be the law of the law. Congress shall enforce this with appropriate legislation.
But you have no rights or privileges right now. You're not under the Constitution anymore. You're not under that document anymore.
But whenever somebody's going to quote the Constitution, this is what it says. Congress shall enforce this with appropriate legislation. And in the Constitution, the way it says it, Congress shall prescribe legislation. Madison and Mulberry, when the judge says, no, we're going to rule for Mulberry, Madison wrote the Constitution. He should have said, no, Article 1, Section 1, send it back and let Congress either change the law and the Constitution or enforce it, you know, revise, enforce, or repeal, amend, I mean. But it's like we hear something, and that's what we know, and it's hard to debate it out of someone's – it's not. You can debate it out of their mind, but it's hard to debate it out of their soul once they've lived it, you know.
What does it mean? I mean, if you look at it, the date is February 21st, 1871, the 41st Congress is in session. and refer to the acts of the 41st Congress, Section 34, Section 3, Chapter 61, Chapter 62. On this date, on the history of our nation, Congress passed an act titled An Act to Provide a Government for the District of Columbia. This is also known as the Act of 1871. What does that mean? It means that Congress, under no constitutional authority to do so, created a separate form of government for the District of Columbia, which is a 10-mile square parcel of land. You know, how could they do that? How could they do that? You know, I mean, how could they get away with that?
It was totally unconstitutional when they did it. It was
Well, but here's the other part too. Whenever you mentioned the district, we got congressional districts, and all that is the two parties having control of the election system. That's why we got red and blue cities, counties, and states. And that's why we have railroad tracks that divides two social parts of the town, okay, and it's because we got a red and a blue city, but the Congress is supposed to go to the Congress members. They could all live right here in Orlando in the same house and be roommates, and they all go to Washington for one thing: to represent the population, amount of people in the state, and to bring the money back to the state. Not for this bridge we need here in Orlando, but the bridge they need over in another part of the state. We need that's, but the two parties can control. It keeps us divided, and we've seen this with we had a congressman down here, Colonel Alan West, went up there, and he was a little bit kind of, he had a little, you know, gunpowder in him, and he would get up and say the way it is, especially on Middle East issues, and he would teach about Islam and what we need to look out for, and they decided to let him go. So the Republicans decided they're going to redistrict him, and the rule is if he's within 500 points, you know, 500 votes, he can challenge it. He was within 500 votes. And he said, "I want to challenge." And the Republicans said, "No, we don't want to. We don't want to do a recount."
You know, we have surrendered willingly through our silence and ignorance. As Americans, most of us have no idea our freedoms are maintained or lost. Apparently, our ancestors didn't have a good grasp of this either. You know, it's sad, but it's also very true. You know, I mean,
Here's my thing on it. I don't mean to cut you off there, but I'm emotional about it. Here's what I've always seen, and I'm not a historian. When the founders came over here, and I thank God, if I ever meet them, I don't know if I'm supposed to shake their hand or bow and kiss their foot. I really appreciate what they did because they did something in human history that will never be repeated again. But here's the thing. The people that came here, they were educated. They knew what they were doing, okay? And they came up. They were we the people. And when they wrote it down, we the people, they're thinking of just the common people. But you know what? This farmer that can't read, he's pretty good at surviving and planting a garden and hunting. But you know, he can't run for because, you know, we got to admit, this guy really doesn't have what it takes. And so what they've done, they guarded who they came. Like, I'll give you a good example. Mel Martinez and Marco Rubio, they both came from thank God they both came from Cuba. They got here, and people up in positions of influence in the education and outside of education had their eyes on them, coming alongside of them, coaching them, and then they get their degrees, and they become the first Hispanic or Puerto Rican county commissioner or bird watcher or whatever, and then next thing you know, they're running for Senate. That they were groomed from the culture, the political culture up there, and through a network of people in the community that knows them. And next thing you know, you got this guy with two left feet.
Hearing a lot of background noise. I'm not sure what the background noise is coming from.
Yeah, it's not me.
I know, but we the people have never been we the people. It's been the two groups nurturing and recognizing and endorsing who they want.
Well, yeah, and that's what we talked about before, and what's happening. And I don't know if you heard the very first part of the show when Karen and I were talking more about those elections, what the Republican and Democrat parties, how they have totally taken control over these elections, and it's so unconstitutional. And it goes back to that most basic about the 24th Amendment, where they can't force you to pay a poll tax or any other tax, and we are being taxed through these private entities who have been allowed to take over the elections and take over
the country, really. It's absolutely disgusting. And try that. I'm going to keep trying. I'll keep fighting the fight out here to educate people on what these two stinking parties are. And I'm telling you, I swear, I'll keep praying too, just like I said at the beginning. I would absolutely love, dear Lord, help us somehow get to the point where Kennedy can run as an independent and Trump runs as Nathan, I think that's your phone. If you could put on mute, maybe there's a lot of static on it. Unfortunately, you can't call back in now, but I think it's your phone that's got all that static. But if right now, if we could have those two individuals run as no party affiliates, as run as Americans, what a concept. We got two American candidates out there. Wow, I don't know. Could we really do that? Instead
I hadn't thought about
these
that.
Allegiances,
yeah, you got a point.
Yeah.
You definitely got a point there.
Yeah. That way we could literally, and I mean I personally have no doubt, if those two people would do that, we could take down these two stinking parties that have they are truly the root cause of so much of the evil and what has gone through them to create this insanity that we have. I really, really wish we could figure a way to make that happen. All I can do is pray and try to get other people engaged and try to
get
people.
Wait a minute, Sally.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Let me finish something. Oh, come on. The good part is you are getting the, I call them constitutionalists, whoever, conservatives, what do you want to call them? They little by little, they're out there saying the Republicans are bad too, the Uniparty. They're finally starting to say, yes, but we got to do something about these guys out there too, the corruption of these individuals. It's a big part of the problem too. So little by little, we're getting there, but we're running out of time. 2024 is Judgment Day. We better have figured out what's going on or we will have no country and we will be all enslaved to these idiots. Okay, go ahead.
Sally, the Democrats may solve the problem of which you speak. Just the other day, I saw Robert F. Kennedy talking about the superdelegate system that the Democrats have in place by which they rigged the election against Bernie Sanders in 2016. He was talking about it. They might just knock RFK out of the primary, despite the fact that it appears he may be able to win in New Hampshire. So if he does that, there is a possibility that Robert F. Kennedy might run as an independent.
And I truly
believe if the
Republicans don't change their attitude with Trump, if the Republicans, and because right now I really see it, especially here in Florida, the garbage I see with this Republican Party, because they have control, they have these super electors, and the game is rigged.
Super delicate.
It's just how we vote really truly doesn't matter. Yeah. But if they go out there, if the Republican Party does not put Trump on the ballot, I believe Trump will run as an independent, and then you could have both of them out there, and it's a major, major signal. We are sick of
parties.
These two parties. They're both corrupt and self-serving. Go ahead.
The issues that we face today in America are because the Constitution has not been supported. It was a surprise most of America to learn that there are no political parties in the federal government. The people did not enumerate in the federal Constitution the power for the government to be partisan in any way. Their only duty is to support the Constitution. The Constitution secures the rights of the people. The powers not given to the federal government were reserved to the state or to the people. The people have never surrendered rights or authority. They delegated powers to the government to perform certain duties in a specific way. And they provided for the government to remove any individual who failed to comply with the duties as ordered. I mean, and it's a great system if we follow it. In the first session of Congress, the founders passed the Judiciary Act of 1789, Section 34. Of that act, it says, and be it further enacted that the laws of the several states, except where the Constitution, treaties, or statutes of the United States shall otherwise require or provide, shall be regarded as rules of decision and trials at common law in the courts of the United States in cases where they apply. Further, in 1791, the legislators of the several states ratified the Bill of Rights. The Fifth Amendment to the Constitution says no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when the actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled by any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor deprived life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without compensation.
You know, I mean, during the decades surrounding the events of the Civil War, the Constitution for the United States of America was usurped through unconstitutional acts. The oath that was established for Congress was changed so that the Congress became officers and not members who hold seats. In a Republican form of government, those who are elected or appointed go in our place to support the Constitution. If no power is given, no action can be taken. Once established, the Constitution requires an amendment by a specific process, and the rights of the people cannot be legislated away. The Congress also redefined words that have significant impact on our lives today and mixed the Republican form of government that was authorized by the people with a corporate democratic structure. This commingling of terms, jurisdictions, laws, forms, and politics has led the American people into slavery. The people have been recreated as corporate fictions never authorized by the Constitution. It's very simple and clear.
Amen. That's exactly the truth. And we've lost, and the dumbing down of people and being the propaganda, the news media. The news media was supposed to be so critical, and look how they've been turned against us. It's all, again, there's nothing, although, as Washington said, there will be those who want to take what you have. You will always have to defend. And when the problem is, we did not always defend. We surrendered our rights to these representatives, and we trusted them to do things. They didn't do it, and here's where we're at. And it's really, there's truly nothing.
Can I say something, Sally? Sally, can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, as Lightweight and I, we've been having a very fruitful discussion here in the chat room. Is what I see is that many of you guys are confused about the nature of how America has operated. And there's a lot of contradicting statements you all make, such as if people were to hear you in all of your programs, you're highly critical of the government. And then people might ask you, why do you hate America? But when you all hear other people become critical of the United States, you ask them, why do you hate America? So it's as if you have the authority and the moral stance to be critical of the United States, to feel you're under siege, to feel that the communists and the Marxists have taken over, and all everything, the devil has come back. But when other people who have traditionally been aggrieved, you ask them, why do you hate the country?
Okay, let's go back to the reality here. You've done this before, and I'm going to go over and do it again. I said, and if anybody on this call right now hasn't heard me say, I believe in the Constitution, and maybe I should qualify that as the organic Constitution.
Me too.
I want the Constitution. I don't care. If you're not going to follow the Constitution, then you probably are a Marxist or a communist, and I want to support the Constitution.
That's what I want.
Yeah, we want to restore what we were founded as. We are not there now. So that is why, and everybody has the right to voice their opinion, that freedom of speech. That's why you're here, Brother Warren, right? You're sharing your opinion. That's, everybody has the right to say it. And if you think this is what it is today, if this is what you like, you don't like the organic Constitution. And just accept
that.
No, but
this is what I hear, Sally.
Let's read.
This is what I hear, Sally.
Don't talk over me. I'm going to have to hit that mute button. Don't make me hit the mute button. Go back, read the Declaration. How many people don't understand the connection between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution? The Constitution is supposed to enforce the Declaration. Let's go back to that Declaration and see how many of those rights of that Declaration I don't have today. Because that's what the problem is. That's where the problem is, right there.
Exactly.
That's why I don't like, and that's why I complain about my government. I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. And if anybody hasn't heard me say that, I'll say it one more time because I say it multiple times. I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of because they are corrupt and totally treasonous and traitors of what they're doing. They are not supporting that declaration, and they are not supporting Constitution, which is to support the declaration. You can get two minutes, and then I'm going around the table. We're going to be wrapping it up here.
But no matter how many times you make that statement to create a distinction, there are those people who will still hear your grievance and still say, why do you hate America? People like me
I don't
do
hate
the same
America.
Thing. We, no, no, hold up.
I'm
point.
Not
going
to listen
you're
to
missing,
this kind of stuff.
You
no,
missing,
time
my
out,
point.
Time out. This is where you, when you get into this
point.
Kind of propaganda, you're not going to do the propaganda thing on me like you typically
no,
like
not,
to
but
do. Because I've already said it. We've already covered it. I do not hate America. I don't hate America.
You're missing my point. People like me make that kind of distinction as well. But we're asked, why do we hate America? I'm saying people could do the same thing to you.
Well,
that's
first
what I'm
off,
saying.
I'm not wanting. I want to go back to what America was founded on. You want more communism. You like the CCP.
No,
I don't.
I
like
want
the CCP.
No people. No
and
people
I,
okay, like me.
Okay, I'm gonna.
People like me
again,
want America
to
be. To be
you're
what
gonna give me a wrap
it,
up
it
here, and
be.
Then you're. It's gonna be muted. Because I'm not going to listen
Wait,
to that
what?
Nonsense again. You're,
no, let me say,
you're not
what
being
did,
honest. You're not being
no, no,
honest with what I have said and what I've
said. You're not listening to a valid critique. What did Martin Luther King say at the March on Washington when he gave that speech, I Have a Dream speech? He said that America, in essence, had never fulfilled what it said in the Constitution it was about. Okay? That's what people like me want. And you tell us we hate the country.
You don't listen to yourself enough, and I will continue to say I think a lot of what you do is to try to incite, stir up people, whatever you want to call it, incite the discussion. Try, I don't know what you truly believe in. If you believe
all,
in slavery, Marxism, and communism, and all that. No, please, you're finished. You gave your last comments. We're going to go around the table here. We're going to wrap up. But you're twisting what I said, and I really do resent. I want you to be able to share an opinion, but if you're going to try and lie and twist what I say, I have said I love my country. It's my
right.
government I'm afraid of. That's
and I'm
the
saying
fact.
There are people, and I'm saying there are people who still they won't make that distinction. They'll still accuse you of hating.
Well,
the
then that's their problem. There are people who truly believe you can take a girl and make her into a boy. You can't do that. You cannot scientifically do that. You can pump all sorts of drugs in there to try to make something else happen,
well,
make certain
people,
parts grow and make hair
okay,
grow
point,
and whatever else,
point,
but it's not real.
Point well,
it's not real.
Point well, but Sally, point well taken. But there are people also trying to make people believe that slavery was good also, i.e. Florida.
Well, of course. That's why they're trying to enslave us again, because they think it's so wonderful. These elitist globalists were the World Economic Forum morons and whatever else. They know better. They know what kind of car I should have. I shouldn't have one. They know what I should eat every day. I shouldn't be allowed to eat beef if I want to. That's because they know better. They're the gods, and you like the gods, I guess. I don't like the gods. I want to get back to Americans being Americans. I want an American party, which is a no-party affiliate kind of thing. Okay, you had your
Thank
turn
you.
Now, Brother Warren, so... Thank you, as always. And, okay, let's go. Sarge, what do you want to say for a wrap-up here?
Martin Luther King said this at the nation's capital in 1964 during the March on Washington. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is direct quote. He was directly referring to the Constitution, as do we when we make our critique. Let me finish. Now, let me finish. Let me finish. I'm not being dishonest. I'm going to be as honest as anybody here could ever be. Now, what we do when we critique the society in general and this government in particular is what we believe if it's lack of adherence to those black and white textual words written in the Constitution for anyone of normal education to read as the framers of the Constitution intended them to be read. That's what we are complaining about. We're not complaining about things that don't have to do with that for the most part. And we are not responsible for other people's lack of comprehension when we use English clearly and we use adjectives, vowels, conjunctions, and prepositions that are completely consistent with what we're saying. For instance, as when I say Martin Luther King was not a communist because he is a man of God who could not reconcile the atheism of communism and Marxism with his duties and oaths as a minister of God. but he
Don't
was influenced
back the words,
by God.
Sarge.
Now,
Don't
when
back
people
the words.
Take my words and distort them, I am not responsible for their lack of understanding. It is up them to get a better comprehension or ask me or whoever it is to further elucidate and illustrate exactly what they mean, but never to distort them. So we cannot be responsible for other people's lack of understanding when we use clear, accepted usages of the English language.
Okay. Now, with that being said, let's see. Nathan, what would you like to chime in as we're going around the table here? Nathan, if you're talking, you're on mute.
Nathan fell asleep and saw it running his mouth.
Well,
please,
I think
Nathan,
his phone,
Nathan is probably stunned by what
noise.
I said.
Nathan. Okay, well, Nathan, if you're able to chime in, but I know he put his phone on mute because of the noise it was making, the static or whatever. So, okay. Okay, Cindy, what are you thinking? If you're not on mute.
You know what, Sally? Sally, I have a way of putting pressure on my opponents to where they got to cough up the truth and walk
okay,
back with
no.
the city mission.
Okay, we're finished. You had your last wrap up there. Okay, Joe, go ahead.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much for letting me play that audio. I appreciate it on your show. I'll do a wrap up show, I guess, for you at 10 o'clock. So anybody wants to have this further this discussion about the Constitution and whatnot is more than welcome to come over to my podcast and talk about that. And maybe I'll do a little touch-up on 9-11, too, and not to call it a conspiracy or to trash it, but to remember the sacrifices of many people that paid the ultimate sacrifice that day, because a lot of lives were lost that day. And I remember the country after 9-11, or just really right after, it was so united. And people really got along, and I was up north. I lived in the Northeast when this happened, and I saw it. Every single vehicle had an American flag on it, and everyone was patriotic, and it was really, really a different atmosphere and vibe around the country that I've never seen before and haven't seen since, and it's
hey,
too bad.
This
and
is
I wish we could get back to that.
The wind right now is blowing 9:42. The wind is blowing real hard, and your door got swung open, and I can't close it because it's flapping real hard. I can't close it because
Nathan, are you there?
Latches on the inside.
Nathan, what are you talking about?
It's quick raining. I'm going to come over and knock on your door.
Mute him.
Nathan, are you asleep talking or something?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was on my other phone.
Oh, okay.
My neighbor, the wind's blowing, and my neighbor's gate door is slapping, and so I called and left a message for her.
Okay. Well, hold on, Nathan. Joe, were you finished? Was there anything else?
Yeah, okay. So everybody wants to further the conversation there. As long as it doesn't turn into a shouting match, everyone's welcome to have their opinion and talk. So hopefully I'll see you there at 10 o'clock. Thanks, Dahlia. It was a good podcast. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Nathan.
Yeah, let's
Nathan,
rumble.
Nathan, your final word.
Don't forget Dave.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just listening.
Okay. Okay, Dave, go ahead. You got your minute here to give your final wrap-up.
With everything going on, we need to realize the most important thing is the actual government that we're facing with, everything that we're looking into and has to change, basically has to be removed somehow or another. Now, this upcoming election, if it happens, the presidential election is not the main focus right now we should be thinking about, because there are 33 seats in the Senate that are up. If the Senate is swung Republican, then say Trump gets elected and you have the House. Then you have a trifecta agenda that we can do, hopefully, what we want, and that's accountability, mainly for the people that are committing crimes, making it simple. Now, the problem I have with it is nobody wants to address the fact that the word Zionism, the people that believe that they're Zionists, they are the ones that have total control of the money, the banks, everything else we're talking about, and they will not turn away
from that tower. You see Pelosi. You see, what's the other, the lady's name, 196 years old yesterday. Anyway, she's running back in office again. Now, they're doing this because of the power grab that they're going to try and stop. Because if it happens, and it swings that three-way, people are going to go to jail. Because the people, we, us, like us, we want accountability. There's nothing being done judicial-wise from the top of the food chain with your president of the United States committing crime, perjury, lying to Congress, lying to the people mainly. These people that we put in office have to be reminded, I guess, and I've always said from the get-go, from when we started talking about this stuff, how, what do? Everybody wants a solution? I said, you go in there, you tell them, you resign or we're dragging you out of here by your hair. That's what it's going to have to come to, because these people are not going to relinquish power. They are not going to have a fair election ever again. And as far as slavery goes that people want to talk about, since 1933, when we went bankrupt the first time as a corporation of the United States of America, which is now, fast forward, not the United States of America, because that is done and gone, you can reach them at whitehouse.inc. That is the new corporation that we're under. It's just changed buildings, just like another bank has with these bailout bullshit things. But the slavery thing is that we are under this corporation, the maritime law, and if you really look into it, and these people want to make a change, it tells you the most important thing you can do is own your property, your land. You'd be the king of your land. You have a land patent, not the sovereign citizen. You want to be a states American, American statesman, whatever. That is crucial. When you don't have anything, like Charlie's saying, you know, you take your car, they're going to take your pencils, they're going to take your lunch boxes, they're going to take your toys. Everything's gone. But if you have your land, they can't take it. And once you become that person, you become an elector. An elector in, which I've heard in the last 3 days now, there are only 44,000 people in this country that actually vote, that make the count. Everything else is a dog and pony show. It's all bullshit. 44,000 people, because each one of those people are an elector, not the electoral college. Similar, but the elector owns the land patent and the things that they own, and they get 4 votes per person. I about lost my mind when I researched it. It's true, and I'm digging into it. But on that note, Joe Gibson, I'll talk to you on the backside. Sally, thanks for letting me talk. And hey, Warren, stay out of China. No, wait, go back to China. Love America. I hate it, government.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. Excellent discussion. Got a little bit rowdy a couple of times and yelling and speaking.
Can I get one last word? Hey, can I get one last word? Okay.
Sure.
Listen, I do stuff, basically what's on my mind from the moment, and I got a lot of issues. I bounce back and forth. One of my thing that keeps coming back to me is Executive Order 12803. I did something today, yesterday and today. I emailed him, and then today I called his office, and I told General Boykin, we have, I told his assistant, she's going to get it to him, we have Executive Order 12803 that allows other countries to come over and buy our land. We got large amounts of property around our military bases. We need to know why, who is buying it. We know it's other countries. But here's the thing that I see. Whenever we go to war, our bases are already surrounded, okay? We're out of the water before we even get launched. And this was unconstitutional, and I just ask him to please show it to him and let him know it. Let him, you know, maybe he can get a hold of the right people to just start saying, hey, this ain't right. But you know what? They're buying up large amounts around bases, and that means if we go to war, they got us surround us, and they can take it. It could be their base. You know, the thing is we need to read the Constitution, and we need to go back to, I'm not as smart as smart, Sarge, but we need to get these people that know the Constitution and put them with these guys that knows the legislation and learn from each other and find out what do we got to do to take our country back. Thank God for America.
Yes. God bless America. And we do, while we want to remember the people who have fallen, because they're the victims of what's happening in our country, the people who died on 9/11, the negligence of some, and the evildoers, and so we do need to keep that, but we can never forget, and we need to understand what it's going to do to our future, how it impacts what is happening in the future of our country. So it's a terrible thing. God bless America. Please say a prayer for America and understand it's up to us. It's our country. We got to take it back. One thing I'll say in reference to the property, Washington said, if you don't have the right to own property, you don't have liberty. And that's so true. And technically, right now today, truthfully, most of us who own homes, we don't truly own the land because you have to pay property taxes. We've got to get rid of that, too. We have to be able to own that land outright. Because right now, if I don't pay my property taxes, the state will come in and take over. So even though I've been paying on my house and I'm paying my mortgage and everything else, if I don't pay those property taxes, they come in. So right now, technically, the state owns everything, which is very, very wrong. We have got so many things wrong. We have got to go back to the organic constitution, the right to own property, the right to pursue happiness, and, of course, there was some those people on this call know the original declaration was a life, liberty, and the pursuit of property, and then they changed it to pursuit of happiness. But you have to have the right to own, and they're doing everything they can to take it away from us. It's so sad. It's so despicable what a certain element of people are being allowed to do, and it is treason. They're the ones that are the treasonous. The insurrection, that insurrection's going on that southern border. That insurrection's been the Obama, where he was bringing in his groups of refugees and planting them all over this country. We've been attacked, and we've been standing here watching it, and at some point we have to defend ourselves. I sure hope it doesn't come to any kind of civil violence. We've already seen that from Black Lives Matter and all this other stuff going on. But I fear for our country if in 2024 we don't have a reckoning and we don't come back to who we're supposed to be. I don't want to be here when that happens. I really don't. I don't know. It's not going to be pretty if we don't take back this country. And that's the thing with Trump. Trump is the only one I've seen out there. And Kennedy, to a certain degree, is pushing back on a lot of this stuff, too. There's truly a lot of things that they both say the same, even though they might say it differently, but it all means the same. Is pushing back on this one world order. He believes in our own national sovereignty as well as our individual sovereignty. He's the one who said it's your country, not ours. The government doesn't own this. We the people own this. It's our country. And we've got to push back and stop this crazy insanity of a UN takeover. And people have to know about it. Most people just don't know. And that's what we're here for. We're here to try and share the information. So anyway, thank you again for an excellent, lively discussion. It's been great. We will talk again next week. Don't know what the subject will be next week. We'll figure that out. And please have a good evening. Say a prayer for America. And God bless. Good night.
Good night.